Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Sunday, May 28th, 2023. This is your award-winning Cumulation Media Assassination, episode 1559.
This is No Agenda.
Memorializing the fallen and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where I hate to say it, but the Indianapolis 500 is not that entertaining. I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning. Man, isn't that one of those days when we have Indy 500 and we have the Grand Prix of Monaco Formula One?
And the gay parade in San Francisco. No.
Really? Is that today?
Yeah, it's on right now. So as long as it, so is the Indianapolis 500.
Oh, I thought the gay parade didn't start until Pride Month, which was June.
I think this is Pride Month.
No, I thought Pride Month was June.
Well, they're sure making it out to be Pride Month.
Well, consult the Book of Knowledge.
Let's not be like other podcasts. Let's just go straight to the Book of Knowledge and find out.
No, I think we should just ad lib.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer Pride Month is currently celebrated each year in the month of June. And you know why it is in the month of June? Yes, correct. To honor the 1969 Stonewall. Yeah,
even
uprising.
Though there were previous, before Stonewall, there was action in Los Angeles that predated Stonewall. But no, New York has to have everything going for it.
Well, maybe that's why San Francisco is jumping the gun, going early with the pride, with the prides. Just a thought. Hey, I got a new dinner, people to hang out with here.
Oh, you have new friends.
We have new, say that again, because it really diminishes it so much. So well. I really appreciate it. We have new friends, said the hermit, please. Do you ever have friends that you have dinner with?
Yeah, we have people who are all the time.
No, I mean friends, just people. I mean random people.
I had nobody. I got no friends.
That's what
just family.
That's what I was angry for.
That's what happens when you get older and you get guns.
Cybersecurity guy who used to work at Twitter and had some very entertaining things to say.
Well, now I'm interested.
I thought you would be. Jack knew nothing. Jack didn't run crap.
No, I think that was a given. I think that was not.
Oh yeah, but
a secret.
But really, like he didn't know anything about the FBI, about the spooks coming in. It was all Vijaya,
whoever,
and her sidekick Dell. They let all the spooks in. So the security guys, you know, when I say security, I mean it's not just cybersecurity people breaking into the network, but what's going on in the company.
Sure.
They saw
who's coming through the door.
Who's coming through the door? They saw spooks and agents from every country in the world coming in, China especially. And they would go to management and say, you know, we should probably like do a little investigation on these people. No, no. You know why? It was racist. They were shut down. It was racist. One time, and I'm just paraphrasing here. There was apparently a meeting and something was brought up about Chinese agents. And one guy got up, ran out the door, raced to the airport and never came back and flew to China. I mean, this is hilarious.
Wow. It's like a comedy bit.
It's hilarious. He says, you think the FBI was bad? Oh, no. He says every single country in the world had agents and they were just letting them all in. They would not let any investigations take place because, you know, most of these people were brown or yellow or whatever. No, that was racist. You can't do that. Even when they were requesting full access to everything.
So the Chinese spy literally showed up. You couldn't do anything because it was racist.
Racist, yes.
Yeah, okay. That sounds pretty much like the...
Doesn't it make total sense?
Par for the course for the Bay Area.
And I think it also kind of explains why it was so easy for Elon to come in, fire 80% of the people, because you didn't need any of those people for any of this stuff. Any of it. It was all just middle management crap.
I think a lot of companies in Silicon Valley are that way.
Oh, yeah. And then we talked about AI. He said, you know, I mean, he's kind of in between where we are and, you know, we're all going to die. People are says, they could actually kind of, it could get pretty in quote unquote intelligent. He said, but he doesn't think the good engineers, what he calls the liberals who started Google, that's how he classified them. He said, I don't think they have the right engineers anymore. They can't do anything. They've screwed the pooch, which is another.
Well, how and why did they screw the pooch?
Because people left. People hated it so much. They got so much middle management. They became this big behemoth of he also worked at Google, actually. And one other place he worked at. Well, I mean, this is a fresh friendship, so I don't want to ruin it too soon. So give me.
Yeah, you wait, and you can ruin it later.
Like the Obama bots, that ended abruptly. We were on a roll for a while there. Happy Memorial Day, everybody! In America, we celebrate this with mattress sales. I'm very happy to, very very happy to buy a new mattress. Of course, this is when we remember the fallen in all the wars. It's big out here, though, man. I'll tell you, you flags everywhere. Here in the hill country of Texas, there's no mattress sales here.
Flags here.
No, of course not. The San Francisco, the whole Bay Area hates America.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
They really hate, not really no flags. That's your boot on the ground.
I'm looking
report?
Out the window. There's not a flag in sight.
That's really quite lame.
In fact, I could probably draw. I know where the flags are. They're at the cemeteries. Right. There will be flags.
Well, of course, of course.
But the number of flags actually flying, you know, people would put out nothing. No, I probably could drive all through all around today, and I'd see no flags.
Yeah, yeah. We should just divorce California, I guess.
Well, you know, haters, big enough, it could stand on its own.
Bunch of haters. Yeah, you could. But would you stay there? If it became the
that's too much trouble to move.
If it became the Communist Republic of California, you'd stay.
It wouldn't ever become the Communist Republic. That's the funny thing.
What would it become then?
It'd be some sort of crazy place.
Yeah. Well, what it would become some kind of crazy place. What do you mean it would become? Codified as a crazy.
They talk a big game about communism, and they kind of like, you know, pretend it. But it's a bunch of old ladies. The mentality is old, kind of old conservative, hand wringing, never wash your hair style. It's like, you know, they probably wouldn't be able to deal with actual communism, where people have to, you know, be told what to do. It's a more it's an anarchistic more than anything, anarchistic and crazy old ladies.
I think I can agree with
and
that.
Guys and old men that wear jeans. There's like, if you're over 60 years old, please don't wear jeans. And so you see this old guy, you know, he's got this short crop.
No, it's not a good
kind
look.
Of a lesbian cut, gray hair, jeans, T-shirt at 65 years old and wearing a mask. That is the Berkeleyite.
I had a clip, I think. About San Francisco, where people are getting fed up, really fed up with the drug problem, and London Breed got booed off the street. Is London Breed your mayor? London Breed?
Yeah, London Breed. London Breed.
Where is she now? How come I can't find this now? This was on my list for today. San Francisco. That's odd. Did you not have this as a local report there about?
They blew her all the time.
No, but I mean, it was about the drug problem specifically. Oh, here it is.
Oh, the drug problem. Yeah, that's all they talk about.
I got it. Here we go.
A crowd gathered as the San Francisco Board of Supervisors convened a special meeting at UN Plaza. The task, addressing the fentanyl crisis plaguing the streets.
And I agree, this is not a new problem, but it is one that has become so visible that many San Franciscans do not feel safe.
Mayor London Breed was called before the board to publicly answer questions on what's being done to combat and curtail open-air drug use.
We have tried over and over again, and what we are doing is not working.
No kidding.
And in fact, our local resources have increased, but it has not dealt with the problem based on the magnitude of what we're experiencing.
Breed says a new approach is necessary, requiring more accountability.
We want to get people help, but we will not continue to allow things to just occur as they have been.
Some demand more.
What does that even mean? We want to give people help, but we don't want things to occur as they have been. Is this the Kamala Harris school of talk?
It sounds like the by the way, I have some Kamala Harris clips from West Point.
Oh, good.
And she, in fact, I just, not to interrupt you, but I want to play the one short clip, this super short one, where she, here it is, it's 17 seconds. Harris at West Point, classic cliche.
To you is exciting and intuitive. You see what can be unburdened by what has been. And you have the agility and the ability to bring that potential to life.
Wow.
How can she keep saying that? They should boo her.
And it's that same one. This is the key.
You see what can be unburdened by what has been.
That's the one that she keeps repeating. Unburdened by what has been.
Wherever she gives a speech, she says that.
Well, let's go back to London Breed, who has her own, interesting way of
kind of thing.
Same kind of
approach is necessary, requiring more accountability.
We want to get people help, but we will not continue to allow things to just occur.
By the way, she also sounds a lot like Lightfoot, doesn't she? Like Larry Lightfoot?
Yes, she does.
She has a lot of that cadence and even the tone to some degree.
But we will not continue to allow things to just occur.
And Stacey Abrams. Good point, trolls.
As they have been.
Some demand more attention on racial disparities and those directly affected by the crisis to find solutions.
What the politicians in San Francisco need to do is take harm reduction off the books and go back to an abstinence-based program in regards to substance abuse.
And others blame the mayor for the growing problem. Within 15 minutes of the meeting, there was yelling and shouting.
Let me ask my question.
Soon, the mayor requested she answer the supervisor's questions elsewhere.
We will recess this meeting to the Board of Supervisors chamber.
While some supervisors were still near the street, officials say a protester threw a brick toward the stage. The person was quickly arrested and hauled away in handcuffs. With tempers.
By the way, they say a person, it was a dude with long hair in a mini dress. I'm just saying.
Say a protester threw a brick toward the stage. The person was quickly arrested and hauled away in handcuffs. With tempers flaring, supervisors and the mayor agree now is the time for action.
We have some proposals that are on the table that will work with adult probation, that will work with the sheriff's department, that will say if you are an addict, if you are on the process or the verge of overdosing, we need to have public health, sheriff's department, and probation work together so we can compel people into treatment.
I am putting everything on the line. I am doing this job without fear of losing it.
One of the proposals on the table is to arrest repeat drug offenders, but not all supervisors are on board.
And that's the problem. They've got too many supervisors who, oh no. And by the way, I'm seeing a lot of white people. I don't know where all this racism comes from. I'm seeing white people dying on the streets of San Francisco from overdoses.
Yeah, I think mostly.
Yeah.
But, we have our Baron Anonymous cop who sends this interesting note.
Oh, yes. This was a great note.
Everyone knows the National Guard and Highway Patrol are coming to San Francisco allegedly to help the police for the fentanyl crisis. Well, here's something the general public doesn't know yet. San Francisco was quietly named a 2023 host for the APEC, the Asian Pacific Economic Conference, CEO Summit, in November last year. This conference, which will convene world leaders and business executives to discuss creating economic opportunity, the Asia Pacific's premier business forum, will take place from November 15th to 16th in Moscone Center, which is right in the middle of it. Sessions will address on and on. Well, SFPD, which should have an operational capacity of 2,000 police officers, is under 1,000. The streets are a mess, homeless and blah, blah, blah. He goes on about the problems, the open drug use, selling, and on and on. He says that this National Guard High Patrol thing is a fraud. It's just to back up the police department and clean up this place a little bit. which they did during the last Super Bowl event, which they just rousted everybody. And they're going to have to do that again by November so they could bring in these cops. By the way, it's Bootleg Coins CA at the Etsy shop. He just wants to plug that, yeah, obviously.
He's got a lot of cool stuff still. If you want to get some No Agenda gear that looks copish.
Yeah.
Looks law enforcement-y. Yeah.
So the law enforcement, you know, this idea of, oh, we're bringing in the Highway Patrol and the National Guard for the fentanyl crisis is bull crap.
Our new friend said yesterday he was convinced that this was still China doing this. They have a long memory, and this was retaliation for the opium wars. I'm not so sure. I think it's self-inflicted.
A lot of people feel this way.
Yeah.
That's not an obscure thought. I know.
But I'm saying as he's a San Francisco refugee. You know, he escaped.
Oh, your buddy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, my buddy.
Yeah. Oh, your new buddy, yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah, he's a lifelong San Franciscan. And his wife, who was from the Philippines originally, you know, she had left the Philippines when she was 21, thinking, you know, America was going to be great, and she landed in San Francisco, and she said, it's not great, but not so great. And she feels really at home in Texas. How about that? Do you have more of the...
If we're going to be just a little bit of China, I got a bunch of China clips, and I think a couple of these should be played, which incorporates some information about the fentanyl crisis.
Okay,
Be the series China Forced Label, which means forced labor.
Are you using a ChatGPT to label your clips now? Is that how it works?
China Forced Label Loophole 1.
Efforts from the U.S. to keep forced labor out of the border. Witnesses testified Thursday in Congress before the Ways and Means Committee on America's Trade Policy. And one of the issues brought up was forced labor in the supply chain. NTD's Jason Perry has the story.
Uyghurs held in forced labor in factories and internment camps in China. Garment workers held in forced labor in sweatshops in Bangladesh.
And Michael Kanko, CEO of Import Genius, says he knows exactly how to help stop it. He explained how Import Genius has been able to help clean up supply chains.
This gap is also impacting our ability to stop Chinese forced labor. Many of the goods sourced from China that appear on the U.S. government's list of goods produced by child labor or forced labor are typically shipped by air.
He added that U.S. Customs and Border Protection only publishes shipping data for cargo shipped by sea, but not for cargo shipped by air or by land, which make up 43% of U.S. import value.
Wow, so that's probably how the fentanyl's getting in, too.
Everything's getting in this way. And there seems to be even some terminology they use here in part two of the clip.
And Michael Stumo, CEO of Coalition for a Prosperous America, pointed out another issue known as the de minimis loophole. It allows over 2 million packages per day to enter the U.S. without meaningful inspection.
Chairman Jason Smith rightly said de minimis is essentially a free trade agreement with China. Allowing China to exploit de minimis is, in fact, unilateral disarmament of our customs and trade laws.
And he talked about the overall impact it has with America's relationship with China.
We're building their military and we're building their ability to invade Taiwan. And it's because we can't figure out that we need to build and make stuff here and employ our people and get our profits.
During the hearing, Representative Earl Blumenauer advised the witnesses that there is currently a proposal that would take away the transparency of maritime shipping data. And if passed, that would practically end all transparency for shipping data to the public.
De minimis, adjective, lacking significance or importance, so minor as to merit disregard.
Which is what they've said the air shipping is.
Wow.
They're sending 43% of the exports out of China coming over, just they're flying the stuff over, and it's not being inspected on arrival.
No wonder everything's so expensive. It's got to be a lot more expensive to send it through air, don't you think?
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah.
Huh. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I see the cargo containers going by, so I don't know how much. They've got to be shipping
so much.
I don't know how many planes must be coming over if it's 43%.
Wow.
Because the number of cargo containers is in the thousands.
That's crazy. Oh, not really, I guess.
I'm reminded of I used to bring a lot of art over from a couple of suppliers in China.
Yes, back in your art smuggling days, the good old days.
In Vietnam. Uh-huh. When I was shipped from Vietnam, and both of these art coming over comes in duty free because it's handmade. But Vietnam, what you'd have to pay for from DHL or somebody, it was like a typical shipment of just not that many pieces, like $100.
Oh.
China was like $20 or $15. They'd fly it over and it'd land the next day. I was always stunned by how cheap it was to ship by air from China.
Oh, well, that, of course, begs the question. Are these de minimis shipments coming in on China Air? Air China, I mean?
Well, these came in through Federal Express, so I'm not sure.
Well, we have lots of
Federal Express was shipping stuff dirt cheap from China.
Well, we have a lot of FedEx pilots, so the air crew will let us know. We got boots on the ground everywhere in FedEx. Let us know. And I know a lot of them fly Chinese or Asian routes for sure. These guys, you're year three at FedEx, a captain, you're making $500,000 a year, which really beats podcasting, I have to say. And they're looking, I got 5 good years left in me. I can still go pilot a 747.
Yeah, go do it.
No.
Oh.
Of course not. Okay. Of course not. I can't leave you. I'm your only friend. We already established that. It would be very bad.
The way it goes.
So do you have more from Kamala Harris's commencement, or do you want to stick with
listen,
China?
You played the classic cliche, but let's play this. This is her. It's a 40-second clip of her current way of pronouncing things. She's taken on the Hillary Clinton approach to pronunciation, where every single word is carefully pronunciated.
To support
one at a time.
To support and defend our most sacred ideals, freedom, democracy, and rule of law. All across the world, the soldiers of the United States Army defend these ideals. And as Vice President, I have seen it firsthand. In Poland, on NATO's eastern flank, I met with soldiers of the Army's 5th Corps who deter threats to the NATO alliance and stand for freedom across Europe.
Is she in charge of this all of a sudden? Is this now her beat?
Oh, just they're trying to. Now, I think that she's going to end up like Hillary. She says she already speaks like her. Yeah. And she's going to claim she's under fire under some circumstance.
All right, yeah, you can almost predict this. We came in, we were under fire in the war zone.
So I actually sweetened her opening.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Yes.
Harris at West Point sweetened.
It is an honor, truly an honor, to be with all of you this morning. And to the cadets of the class of 2020, congratulations. You made it. You made it. You made it from Easton Buckner, remote learning and Sammy. You celebrated together at holiday dinners and spring weekends. And you beat Navy, yes, twice. To make it to today, I am also aware that some of you had to sneak out after taps to spin Sedgwick's spurs. I will not ask for a show of hands, but for those who did, it clearly worked. Cadets.
You know, you're going to get arrested for spurring on assassination attempt or
today
something.
Today you come to the end of what I am sure will prove to be 47 of the most challenging and rewarding months of your life. There are so many people indeed who helped make it to this day. To the families and loved ones here, thank you for the incredible care and support
you have given these leaders. I know you feel an immense sense of pride looking at our cadets. And it is a pride I share and that our country shares. On behalf of our Commander-in-Chief, President Joe Biden, and our entire nation, cadets, it is my honor to congratulate you on taking your place in the long gray line.
Amazing. Completely unedited. That's really a fantastic. You have some really good ricochets in there. I like that. You did some work.
Okay, these were all from the new collection that has just been recently released to archive.org.
Oh, this is
of Hollywood
stuff.
Sound effects, including a variety of ricochet shots that were used in movies in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, like that Western ricochet that bounces off the rock.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been appropriate with this report because, you know, there wasn't just the Vice President commencement speech.
Graduates of Johns Hopkins University got a big surprise today
when
they learned Ukraine's leader, President Zelensky, was delivering their commencement.
Oh, Zelensky, Nora!
Zelensky was delivering their commencement address. Zelensky spoke to the crowd in Baltimore through a live video feed from Ukraine. He received an honorary Doctor of Humane Letters degree.
And in his speech,
all in English, he focused on the importance of not wasting time and the ideals of freedom and democracy.
Oh, man. How insulting is it to those cadets?
And don't forget
the cadets, graduates.
Well, they might as well be cadets at Johns Hopkins. But to make it worse, he was introduced by Annie Applebaum.
Yes, you had that in the newsletter, which it that is even worse. Where does she get off being in the game here? Well, I guess she's in the game.
That's because this is Johns Hopkins has become Spook Central.
Yeah. Wow. That's really quite something. I've never been asked to do a commencement speech. I'm sure you haven't either.
You're not going to invite podcasters, that's for sure.
I'm not just a podcaster. I'm an ex-VJ. Hello. I have some credits to my name.
Yeah, well, good for you. They're not going to invite you. Here's an interesting situation. I have a lot of China clips today. But you didn't hear this anywhere, except the stock market people seem to have heard it because the stock went up. China, COVID, Moderna.
Oh, goodness.
Moderna is setting up shop in China. The vaccine maker saying on Friday it's looking for opportunities in the world's second largest economy. That's as Pfizer and BioNTech cut their supplies in Europe. Stocks rallying behind the news, with Moderna's shares rising 2% in U.S. pre-market trading. The biotech firm registered as a legal entity in China this week. The company had no presence in mainland China before this. It opened an office in Hong Kong last year as part of an Asia expansion. Moderna has said that it was keen to sell its mRNA vaccine to China. But so far, Beijing has insisted on using only Chinese-made COVID-19 vaccines. This comes amid warnings of a second wave expected to peak this June. A top epidemiologist predicting over 60 million will catch the infection per week when the wave hits.
Yeah, I heard them talking on CNBC about this earlier in the week. Like they were talking about this story, and that was indeed they're expecting a new wave of COVID. And
60 million a week?
Yeah. By the way, I really appreciate everybody sending us the clip of the day. It's only 21 minutes. Clip of the day.
Oh, the long.
Yes. So Dr. David Martin, I just want everyone to understand that we paid attention to Dr. David Martin in 2021. And it wasn't 21 minutes long. And he was out there all the time with this patent story. All of this is not new. In fact, here's just
it's old to us.
Yes, here's a clip from 2021.
Anthony Fauci has spent, listen to this number, $191 billion, not 3.7 million, not 30 million, $191 billion of audited funds for the bioweaponization of viruses against humanity. And it's your money that has been spent. $191 billion. And do you think you can get any agency or oversight body or any politician to even take that investigation on, despite the fact that we have every grant recipient, every person, their address, their phone number, their laboratory? We literally have the entirety of where that money went, and not a single investigation agency in this country is willing to look. This is a bioweapons program designed to kill us.
Now, you know, we were pretty much on the tip with him, you know. So now, of course, this comes from a European Union session, which was a whole day filled with people speaking about this. It gets no mainstream play, which makes it rather difficult.
But, and what we didn't get from that during that era was the fact that a lot of these weapons, bioweapons development houses were in Ukraine.
Yes, we didn't get any of that news, no.
No, that came out only recently.
Now, I do want to stay with Big Pharma because, and I will say, when it comes to COVID and then bring that back again, and we'll get to that, I'm sure it's going to be climate change.
Before you do that, do you have anything to say about this Moderna opening in China? Moderna is a spook shop. It's CIA funded.
Yeah.
What is China allowing them to set up shop there for?
I don't know.
I find it very peculiar.
Well, how about this? To pretend that we have 60 million people a day or a week getting COVID just to scare us all back into submission. How about that? I'm not thinking that the spook shop isn't working separately from the China spooks. This is a worldwide takeover. This is World Health Organization. It's so obvious. They will try to force us into submission again. We know that that was just a good trial run. They learned a lot. John Hopkins. Yeah. Look at what they get. They get the spook show and the whole thing. It's rigged. We're getting ready for it. I mean, I don't think it'll be this year. But they're gearing up for something. I would expect it more to be under the climate change banner. And who says that it's going to be for COVID? mRNA is going to be for all kinds of stuff, including competition against the Ozempic. You know, they're going into high gear now in promoting this thing across all mainstream news networks. And as we already discussed, and as Becky Worley, our friend, kicked it off there on ABC, now NBC has got the native ad.
There's been an explosive amount of buzz around the drugs Ozempic and Wegovy.
Buzz!
I'm super excited with the 50 pounds that I've lost.
Super excited!
Stories of dramatic weight loss plastered all over social media.
Plastered!
Baby, the hype is real.
The medications, both containing the compound semaglutide, make people feel fuller faster. But something else interesting seems to be happening. Countless testimonials online describing side effects, positive ones, that aren't related to food at all.
I love that. Oh, you see so many side effects of, I'm crapping the bed. This is a real thing. People pooping in the bed after taking Ozempic. I'm vomiting all day long. I see those, but now that's not what NBC Today Show picks up on.
No longer have any desire to drink alcohol, someone writes. Another says, I used to vape like a demon. Quit cold turkey. This person comments, I used to buy scratch-off and lotto tickets. I don't even think about it anymore.
Oh, brother.
That's got to be my favorite. It cures gambling addiction.
What kind of side effect is not buying lotto tickets?
There is a real side effect, which I think, this is from Healthline, I think this is a real thing. Now, remember, what the manufacturers themselves claim is that these Wegovy and Ozempic and these Tremalgafide, I forget what the name is, whatever this, it's probably generic by now too, whatever this drug is, or this this active ingredient, it reduces your lean body mass, which we believe to be muscle. In fact, that is the definition of lean body mass. Now, your brain also has muscle, so maybe that's why people are like, I don't want to buy a scratch-off ticket anymore. My brain is melting.
I'm too stupid to know how to scratch it off. How do you use this thing?
What is one of the biggest muscles in the human body? In fact, it is called the big muscle.
The heart.
The gluteus maximus.
The butt.
Yes. Enter the side effect you may experience while taking weight loss drugs, also known as
Ozempic butt.
Yes. Characterized by sagging skin on the butt, is gaining traction as a reported side effect of the weight loss drug semaglutide, better known by the popular name brand names Ozempic and Wegovy. Experts say rapid extreme weight loss can contribute to looser skin, particularly in curvier areas of the body. Bull crap. I'm telling you, it's reducing your butt, which for some people may be desirable, but you're going to have butt. You're going to have saggy butt.
Butt flab.
Yeah, Ozempic butt. How about that? Underreported.
Dr. Rush, I mean, we're talking about these two drugs. There's another drug called Mounjaro as well. It's sort of in the same class.
Yes.
Yes.
Originally.
Yes. But, yes. But, yes. What?
You know, it's shameful how sold out the media is to the drug companies that they won't report on anything that's negative like this.
It's shameful.
Why don't they just let the drug companies bring their own people on and yak about stuff?
Who do you think this Dr. Roshini Raj is? It's one of their own people, yes.
Dr. Raj, I mean, we're talking about these two drugs. There's another drug called Mounjaro as well. It's sort of in the same class.
Yes.
Originally, pre-diabetics were prescribed this drug. Then we discovered, okay, they can be used for weight loss.
Okay, they can be used for weight loss.
Now we're discovering perhaps.
She's so jitty, too. Yeah. So right.
Covered okay. They can be used for weight loss.
Yeah.
Now we're discovering perhaps they could be used to treat addiction as well. How did we make this leap?
Well, it's one of those things, and this happens a lot in medicine, where people are taking one drug for a specific, you know, condition that it is approved for. And then we notice, lo and behold, they're having these other interesting effects that are beneficial. And then you start to do research.
You mean like ivermectin?
That's horse paste.
Did they bring that up?
No, I don't think so.
Lo and behold, they're having these other interesting effects that are beneficial, and then you start to do research there. But that's where we are. We're in the research stage. We've noticed this interesting phenomenon. We have some animal studies, but it's time to do the human studies, which are ongoing. There are already some studies on alcohol and cocaine addiction with these semaglutide-type medications, and we're going to need to see the clinical results there. You know, it's something that's really interesting and one day may offer some hope for many different types of addiction. But right now, it's still early days.
Okay. You know, that is so... I mean, to bring in cocaine and particularly alcohol addictions, we may have the shot for you. That's really cruel. It really is. And then it's still in animal trials, yet it's just, okay, good to go. Doesn't matter. You know, just you can prescribe it off-label, no problem. And of course, we're not going to see any pushback. This is the bread and butter of these networks. They're bread and butter. Yet somehow they can't seem to help poor Celine Dion.
Music superstar Celine Dion canceled all of her concerts for the next 11 months as she continues treatment for a rare neurological disorder. The 55-year-old singer says she's trying to build back her strength as she struggles with what's called stiff person syndrome. Dion says it's causing painful muscle spasms that affect her ability to walk and even sing.
I'm just going to call it. I bet she was vaxxed and boosted to the max.
Well, I'm sure she was, but it could be.
It's an autoimmune.
It could be. It sounds like autoimmune, but it could be anything. But it could be one of these side effects of this off-label bullcrap. But yeah, she probably was vaxxed to the max.
Yeah, I mean, she has a residency in Vegas. She had to.
No, she had to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And also, you know,
she obeyed.
Yeah, all the party drugs that everyone's enjoying. We got to get that all onto the pharma system as well.
Now with Dr. Darian, let's talk ketamine and the treatment of major depression.
Yeah.
So this is a new study that's come out that's looking into the use of intravenous ketamine or IV ketamine to treat severe depression. So approximately 17 million people in America every year live with depression. Approximately 30% of that 17 million have severe depression, which doesn't recover with regular treatments. And for that group, the options are...
Hold on a second.
Depression, which doesn't recover with regular treatments.
Does not recover with regular treatments. What is a regular treatment? You mean Zoloft?
Prozac? I don't know. They just load you up with stuff.
And for that group, the options are really limited. So this new study found that IV ketamine could possibly be the next option for intervention and the treatment of severe depression.
And we are seeing, I've been seeing it on social media and some documentaries about that use. You guys already use this in a hospital setting.
Absolutely. So ketamine is something that we call a dissociative anesthetic. So it's a way that in the hospital, we use it to sedate patients. It can be used for pain at higher doses. And at lower doses, it's found to be beneficial, not just for pain, but also depression at baseline. And now we're using IV ketamine and hopefully...
Depression at baseline. These are terms that are very important, I feel, but we're not being explained what it means.
For pain, but also depression at baseline. And now we're using IV ketamine and hopefully it will provide benefit to those in need.
Now, is this something that you can ask your doctor for?
You know, that's the problem, access.
Problem.
So this requires not only a physician, but also monitoring and also a plan so that you can have follow-up. And so unfortunately, it's not accessible to the everyday patient, but those that have severe symptoms in certain psychiatry centers, they might have that option available. So you have to ask.
All right, doctor. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Well, go ask.
See if
go
ask. 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 Make sure to ask. Ask.
Yeah, make sure to ask. Ask, please. Go ask. Boots on the ground, my experience with Zoloft. I'll share my experience. About 11 years ago, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. What is that? Doesn't sound good.
No, it's spasms in the colon.
Oh, goodness. I was having a hard time coming to terms with this and tried talking with the GP about it, about what I was feeling. He prescribed Zoloft. I used it for about 2 months. My family, roommates, even strangers would comment on how angry I was while I was on it.
Get a podcast.
Start podcasting. I concluded that always being angry wasn't better than being sad. I never used any other drugs for depression. My outlook on life has improved over time. Talking with people who've had similar experiences and can empathize was much more helpful in this regard. I mean, Zoloft, Zoloft is like handed out like candy. Just like candy.
That's why there's so many podcasts.
And then I had an interesting note from producer Rob about testosterone. I'll just move into some of the headlines here in a moment about the trans-Maoist movement. And he says, hold on a second, testosterone is getting a bad rap. It's being framed. I was on testosterone for about 7 years. Being from Holland makes this complex because no doctor knows jack shit about hormones.
That
is a true Dutchman. Having used steroids when I was in my late teens, I damaged my hormone production. By the age of 35, this was becoming noticeable, feeling depressed, weak, hard time sleeping, etc. A lot of psychological issues, only a few physical ones. So I started on testosterone replacement therapy, TRT, as what women also use. And of course, what happens is it's a base hormone that turns into estrogen in the body. And he says estrogen, he thinks, is the problem. In high levels, it leads to mood swings. PMS would be high estrogen related. With the body trying to get back to homeostasis after testosterone injections in trans people, this leads to huge levels of estrogen. This is why aromatase inhibitors need to be taken. His bottom line is, he says, this is trial and error for each individual person. You can't just hand out testosterone willy-nilly. It has to be closely monitored. And that's the part that rang true to me. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. They're probably not monitoring these children, young people, or anyone of any age, really, on what they're giving them. So... you know,
it's not the idea of monitoring. Is that what you want to do? You just want to get this stuff out of there, charge the insurance companies, make them pay, which they required to do. And so yeah, they're paying through the nose, which means all our rates go up mm-hmm. for these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And get your $7 million out of the person. So what it happens to them? Who cares?
Boots on the ground from a frontline worker at Columbus, Ohio Brewery, who has been keeping me up to speed on their schedules. And for that, so the schedule is the lines, you know, because this is an assembly line and they have people working on the lines, creating the brewing the beer and getting the beer brewed, getting it into bottles, cans, etc., and out and getting it out. And this group who was, I don't think we've discussed them, who has emailed me before. He says, wow, you know, we are patriots here. We are disgusted by what the pandering that Bud Light has done and, you know, the whole Bud Light situation. And they sent me an update. Afternoon, Adam. It's working. Attach the manpower schedule for the Memorial Day weekend. No lines are running. This is unheard of. I've spoken with employees here at the brewery that have 30 plus years at this facility. They have never, ever seen this happen before. Tell everyone to keep pressing. They are making a difference. All the best on this holiday weekend. They are, I love that. I mean, they are so cute. They're so patriotic that they'd rather report on how it's working than, you know, than fuss about
it. They'd rather take a cut and pay.
It's pretty much what's happening. Our brand marketer is back to talk about what is happening with influence campaigns. And is the blame around influencer selection regarding North Face, Bud Light, etc. A few points. This is just some insight on how the industry works, the influencer industry. It's rare that brands actually select their own influencers. You have to be huge to work with brands directly as an influencer. This is typically done via an agency and is normally managed pretty low on the seniority ladder, although that, of course, now might change with all the risk. Most marketing execs don't actually understand social media or influencer marketing. They greenlight influencer programs as cute little ideas so they can say they are marketing to Gen Z. I can see that totally being the case.
You can see it. I can see it.
Case in point, just yesterday, I was informed of an entire campaign for a major product launch that was planned by one of our sub-brands with literally zero executive knowledge of the details of the plan. Even a manager in the digital/social department for that sub-brand wasn't aware of all the details. A new hire with influencer experience got tasked with making an online buzzworthy launch promotion and choose a highly controversial LGBTQ influencer, planned the launch date on June 1 to coincide with Pride Month, and all anyone really knew was that there was an influencer campaign planned. Execs in PR and marketing just got looped in, and the entire plan was final, and everyone is scrambling for a crisis plan. This is good news. Long story short, I can totally see an exec at North Face or Bud Light not even knowing what influencers were in a campaign. Some agency or low-level person found a group of influencers, gave them talking points at a product for the social posts. And he also says, if you want to make money with awards, my team has won several Webby or Shorty awards over the years. We have to pay hundreds of dollars per submission. Well, there you go. That's how it works. You got to charge people for submitting. I like that. So let's get an update on how things are going with these influencer campaigns. But more importantly, with the targeting of kids, we've been following Target. We see that Walmart is now under fire for some of their LGBTQ plus merchandise. And Target, well, this is what happened.
A bomb threat at multiple Utah Targets today, even forcing an evacuation at the store in Layton. Thanks for joining us for 2 News at 10.
Now, this is an interesting story. Now, I'll give you the punchline so that then we can listen to this report. The punchline is that the Utah police, let me see, where is it? They released the police report, and this bomb threat was, in fact, placed because of, as we predicted, Target not standing up for LGBTQ plus and folding to the pressure. So it was not from some right-wing nut job.
As I think we both predicted.
Yeah, we predicted that, but that's not how the reporting goes.
I'm Heidi Hatch.
I'm Mark DeBell. Please confirm, along with Layton, that threats were also made in Target stores in Salt Lake City, in Taylorsville, in Provo. They say there is no credible threat, though.
Dominic Isaacson was headed home from Target, and he was shocked to learn earlier in the morning police were investigating a bomb threat at this retail chain.
It's awful. It's terrible.
An email was sent to various newsrooms. It was 3 cents.
I love that cut. It's awful. It's terrible.
Bomb threat at this retail chain.
It's awful. It's terrible.
An email was sent to various newsrooms. It was 3 sentences long, mentioning bombs and Target's LGBTQ merchandise.
I mean, I live around here, so it's not like something you want to hear, that your neighborhood is potentially being bombed, or at least having people call in bomb threats.
Apparently, they've had a bomb threat.
In Layton, police even searched and evacuated this store because of this.
And they've told all the employees to go.
Things returned to normal. Salt Lake City police also worked with area Targets and found no threat. I wanted to ask them about safety after this, especially with Utah Pride next week. They didn't go on camera, but said they are monitoring the neighborhoods nearby to be cautious.
And Utah is not
alone. Multiple reports show very similar stories happening in different states.
This comes as Target is pulling or moving some items from its stores after backlash over its Pride Month collection.
I have a trans girlfriend, so it's like, obviously I'm for, you know, pro inclusion.
Isaacson was disappointed to hear all this.
Obviously unsafe. It feels very divisive, trying to get people against each other.
Especially with Pride Month around the corner.
So here's Newsweek. They write, according to a release from the Jackson Township Police Department, police dispatch received calls around 12:40 regarding a bomb threat. And here's the release, and I will read it. And at approximately 12:40 hours today, our dispatch center was notified by the media, Channel 19 and 5 News. They received a tip regarding a bomb threat at four Target locations, including the Jackson Township location. The tip stated Target turned their back on the LGBT community and they placed bombs in all four stores. Well, that's not exactly the way that report read, now, was it?
Not at all.
But this is now what is happening, and we have to be aware. This report from Deutsche Welle, of all places, is not a good development.
Now, there are fears that a polarizing election will further inflame the culture war in the U.S. This week, the Department of Homeland Security warned of a rise in right-wing terrorism. The potential targets, including the LGBTQ community, as well as racial and ethnic minorities. Now, while the debate over gun controls remains deadlocked in Washington, one organization says the best protection for vulnerable groups to give them guns as well.
Rob Royce knows his guns inside and out.
This is for the revolver. That's 9mm, pretty standard 45 ACP for the fellow right there.
Load up.
He's a certified handgun instructor, but not what you might call a typical one. He isn't a police officer, he's not in the military, and he doesn't vote Republican. He's a member of the Socialist Rifle Association, and he knows his politics may be a bit out of place here at this rural shooting range in Maryland. When he talks about the training he offers, he lowers his voice.
So for what we're doing, the target group is to provide a safe space for trans, queer, people of color, and other marginalized groups to get this training.
No teaching today, just target practice with fellow SRA member Eric to keep informed. In the parking lot, a prejudice is confirmed. A bumper sticker with an anti-trans slur.
Rob and I want to make sure that, like, that there is pushback against this kind of shit. That, like, trans people have a right to live.
The Socialist Rifle Association was formed in 2017 and now claims several thousand members.
Yeah, this needs to be de-escalated. This is not good. A bunch of people shooting at each other eventually. It's really, this concerns me somewhat.
Goes on the freeway around here.
And it's coming from the government, and this whole, you might have seen the memo, oh my goodness, with Pride Month and with the election, you're going to see nothing but homegrown terrorists. It's going to be all these right wing. And if someone has a Trump sticker, they're probably a Nazi. It's all Nazi. We're not even knowing what a Nazi is. And then we have... I had to chop this down severely. Brett Bozell runs something called the Media Research Center, which is it's kind of a nut job, very right wing, very alarmist type of outfit. And so, of course, the perfect home for him is the money honey, Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business. And her hair is out of control. I don't know what she's doing with it, but it's not any single modicum of symmetry. I mean, cut the hair down a bit, Maria. It's just out of control. But don't worry, we've got breaking news.
A bombshell new report reveals the Biden administration is using taxpayer money to wage a covert war on conservatives and Christian groups. The Media Research Center, a conservative watchdog group, obtaining documents showing DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is using a program meant to fight terrorists, which includes groups like the Heritage Foundation, MAGA, Fox News, even the Republican National Committee in the same category as Nazis.
So they bring Brett Mozell on. He has this pyramid, and this is from the papers, you know, because they gave out a whole bunch of money to people to study this and get ready and be prepared and, you know, root out the Nazis. And so he'll refer to this pyramid in this chopped up version of his 5-minute report.
There's a program called the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant Program. This is supposed to find domestic terrorists in America. It was started by Obama. There was concern by Republicans that it would be weaponized against Republicans and conservatives. Trump put the kibosh on it. It's come back now with Joe Biden. You have that pyramid. Where's that pyramid coming from? There are 80 recipients of money so far. They've received $40 million in grants. Look at that pyramid. In the first layer, you've got Heritage, you've got the Bright, you've got Fox News, you've got Christian Broadcasting, you've got the Republican National Committee. Already you've got more than half of America is on the list. The second level torques it up. More dangerous groups. Turning Point USA, Tea Party Patriots, PragerU, Breitbart, that American Conservative Unit. Then the third level is pro-Nazi organizations. And the top one is militant Nazi organizations. So there you go, the pyramid, showing the progression of domestic terrorism, associating Ron DeSantis with the Holocaust.
Unbelievable.
One speaker was associating Donald Trump with Pol Pot, the genocide guy, to deny...
Well, you got to listen. You missed it. Listen.
With the Holocaust.
Unbelievable.
One speaker was associating Donald Trump with Pol Pot, the genocide guy,
John. Pol Pot, also known as the genocide guy.
One speaker was associating Donald Trump with Pol Pot, genocide guy, to deny people to shut down their websites, to close their meetings, and to physically prevent them from assembling in public.
All right, so the situation, the way I see it, and you know, there's plenty of time to fix this. We all need to calm down a little bit. Is we have people claiming, you know, everyone to be, anyone who's Republican, I think, is basically the idea, because this is also political, is a Nazi, and we need to root them out, which is kind of by definition what the National Socialist Party did. They were Nazis. So this is projection of the highest order. Now, on the other side, it's the war on the woke. War on the woke. We got a very thoughtful letter, had a thoughtful exchange with Linda, one of our producers. And the subject of her email was, "You and John are wrong about DeSantis / woke." And I'll read this. "You and John helped me through COVID by giving the truth on the vaccines, not stopping people from catching COVID, etc. In so many ways, you are great. But always the social issues. It's like, brrr, a scratch record which pulls me out of the song. Legalizing pot. Supporting abortion." I don't think we support abortion, okay? I don't think we've ever
said we support abortion. Where is she getting this bullcrap?
"And now saying that DeSantis is wrong to focus on woke. The national sales numbers for Bud Light show that this is a perfect time to run against woke. For too long, Republicans have ignored social issues and handed America over to the loonies on the left. From coast to coast, we are focusing on social issues again and winning. Read the room, guys. You made other points about DeSantis that were good, such as DeSantis being backed by hedge fund traders and the establishment. Okay, that's objectively true and worth considering. But his fight against the wokeism is very cool and very timely. I want the next president to run against woke more than I want the next president to run against the Democrat. Thanks." And we went back and forth, and she said, you know, and now I started to kind of understand where she's coming from. And I just wanted to stop and say, because our point, I think, on the last show was, you also have to be for something. And if you look at DeSantis in Florida, he's a lot of things, economy, etc. You know, I think you could get everybody on board with the border situation, a lot of things, but she's adamant about the woke, and she measures the success by what's happening with Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch, Target, North Face, soon Walgreens. And I just want to remind everybody, and so she kind of skips over the, all right, you know, so DeSantis is run by Wall Street. Okay, worth considering. The reason why these companies are woke is because of ESG, environmental social goals, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, and of course the ultimate, which everyone is talking about, the CEI scores. This is invented by Wall Street, BlackRock, Larry Fink. This is invented by the very same people who are backing DeSantis, which I'll take to your comment, John. that they're in on this. They are Wall Street wins whether these companies go up or down in value. They just want to know in advance. So you are being played with the woke winning. You really are. You know, yes, it's great and ha ha ha. And I severely doubt actually that a boycott on Target will hurt them severely, but we'll see. You know, it could. The stock price is going down. That hurts investors more than anything.
And it creates what you call a buying opportunity. It could be doing this on purpose.
Correct. So the very same people who are funding DeSantis, and this is public knowledge. This is not some big secret. You know, the Wall Street guys are coming out and saying it. They are the very ones who created this situation with quote unquote woke. So we have to be very careful about not, you know, we are literally, in my mind, being played by the money guys. And it's always the money guys. I still to this day believe that the whole reason for the lockdowns was because of the financial situation with our treasury and the dollar and we needed to get money out of the system, back into the system, whatever they needed to do. We never fixed 2008. So the real problem, the real issue is mainly education, big pharma. These are the evil people. And and the education part, you're not going to have. President DeSantis is not going to remove despicable literature inappropriate for children from your local middle school. You have to do that yourself. You really have to, and you have to check it. Even if there's laws, you still have to be on top of that. And as a community, you need to determine for your own community what's appropriate. No president is going to be able to do that. President DeSantis cannot just make it all happen for you. And by the way, look at how he. I'll just give you a great example of how he is all in with the system. So he launches his campaign on what is supposed to be the next best place for podcasts. Okay, Elon. Yeah, I'm not going to put my podcast on that horrible platform that doesn't work. And the next day he signs into law a rule that shields SpaceX from liability for all launches or flood launches in Florida. That was a quid pro quo. Total quid pro quo. You help me launch, Elon. You hype me up. I'll make this happen for you. Instead, let's focus on what's really happening with our children. And I have, and this is the only one clip today to discuss this. James Lindsay, who literally wrote the book on the new Marxism, how this started with Black Lives Matter, how Black Lives Matter got transplanted into Trans Lives Matter. That literally happened with the big celebration where it was Black Lives Matter, and there's the Trans Lives Matter stage, which was 10 times bigger than anything else. And this is 3 minutes, so it's a little long. You can stop if you want. He explains exactly why Marxists, the very people who were trained, the trained Marxists who did Black Lives Matter now have moved into Trans Lives Matter, not LGBTQ. That's bull. It's only about trans, and it's an old, old, old system.
There's this long history, though, of Marxists playing around with the idea of sexualizing the population, sexual liberation, sexualizing women and sexualizing children in order to destabilize them, in order to get the revolution, to get them to be so agitated and so stuck in their ways of, so stuck in their feeling that they're being held back from who they could really be and what they could really have in life, by the morality of the era, so that they'll throw off their old values, they'll throw off their old culture and adopt a whole new one that's promising them everything that they want, the so-called Garden of Eden, that we could get back into. And the point is to destabilize kids. That's what the queer Marxist grooming part is for. It is a war on stability. If we go back to the 1960s, we see what the critical Marxists were writing about. What they realized was that there were these various forces, in particular advanced capitalism, that were causing people to become stable. The working class had become stable. They complain about the working class becoming stable and saying, we need a new working class. The capitalism doesn't immiserate the worker. It gives them a good life. It makes them stable. These guys realized that when you have stability, you have people who want to keep the stable life that they have, so they become conservative. And other words, they specifically become counter-revolutionary. And that is what they have to break down. When we progress forward into the queer Marxist age post-1984, when Thinking Sex was written, what we realize is that, well, maybe they can't overcome this economic stability problem so well, but they can overcome psychological stability. So you have to prevent people from being psychologically stable. You have to keep them in constantly on their toes. You have to hit them kind of with psyops after psyops. But if you can make sure the children are never stabilized, they're always ready to go do political activism because they think they live in a world they can't cope with. And the only thing that they know how to do to deal with the world they can't cope with is, as the saying goes, scream at the sky.
And take drugs that are prescribed by Big Pharma.
We all saw the Trump election and people falling on their knees and literally yelling at the sky, or showing up and doing political activism, or showing up by the millions in communist organized marches that looked like they weren't communist organized marches, like the Women's March, the so-called Science March. All they know to do is show up when George Floyd dies and start throwing bricks at buildings, changing their social media profile, bullying anybody who doesn't go along, cutting off their family ties. Specifically around that incident and others. That's the goal, is to make sure there is no psychological stability. We have to pay attention to the irreparable mental and emotional harm we're doing to our children as well. We're talking personality and disorders being induced that will take years and years and years of therapy, if they can ever be resolved, to be resolved. Secondly, we are severing relationships with the family so that they don't, and even with friends, so they don't have a grounding outside of the cult. This is literally a part of the cult transition process, the cult induction process. And thirdly, it is to sever relationships to their religion and prevailing culture so that you can out with the old, in with the new, by getting the whole new generation to want to reset the culture that they live in to something different. And so they target children, childhood innocence, which is a narrative used to protect children from, not all children benefit from it. You have innocence privilege or whatever. Within critical race theory, it's an aspect of white privilege that white kids don't have to grow up thinking about race where everybody else does. That's an aspect of white privilege. It's an aspect of male privilege. You don't have to grow up worrying about what it's like to be a vulnerable woman. It's an aspect of straight privilege to not have to be considered a freak or a weirdo or get bullied for being different or whatever else. So childhood innocence is reserved for some children, but not others. And therefore, that's an imbalance that has to be made equitable. So let's just make sure that nobody has childhood innocence is their solution, because equity always equalizes downward, never upward. Sales pitch is up. Reality is down every single time.
I've watched hours and hours of this guy. That's the most succinct I could ever get from him. And notice how the problem is people are comfortable, so they become conservative. So that's where your politicians, Democrats jump in. They become destabled. Oh, wow. These are perfect for our pharmaceutical drugs. You know, put everybody into social media so we can confuse them. We can mind control them, psyop them. That's what's going on. I don't know.
Well, in regards to the letter you received complaining about our coverage, woke in the case of DeSantis is a gimmick.
Yes.
It's a massive gimmick. He's got nothing else going on. And you're right. You have to be for something. It's just a known fact. Not against something to do well. And, you know, this being woke goes to die and all the rest. Now, what you just played, which was great, by the way, I want to read another letter.
Okay.
This is from our producer, Rachel, who we've gotten to know quite well.
Yep.
ITM. There's a science fiction convention held every year in Madison, Wisconsin, called WisCon. And it started in the 70s as a feminist sci-fi convention. Basically, so female sci-fi fans could gather where they wouldn't be heckled or shunned by the overwhelming male population of mid-20th century sci-fi conventions, according to the original organizers. Fast forward to the 2010s. Before most people had heard of safe spaces or pronoun tags, WisCon was doing them. I would attend the panels and just ignore the other crap, which wasn't too hard. Then last year, WisCon sent out an email telling everyone who was planning to come that if they weren't a person of color, they should be quiet and let the preferred races talk.
Oh, man.
I was so offended I didn't even think of attending. I go to their website this year and find that you can't even attend unless you've had a COVID vax and intend to mask the whole time. Ugh. My friend who went said it's so sad, masks everywhere when no one wears them anywhere else in the city. And she goes on and on about this. And that's the kind of craziness that has been taking over this and that.
And what I thought was so astute is what you wrote in the newsletter about protected lands and burial grounds.
Oh yeah, I've commented on this on the show quite a bit. Where you have a group, just to summarize, you have reporters and let's say Amy Goodman and others who are avowed atheists. And they make a big stink about it because, you know, atheism is kind of a religion in itself. And so you're an atheist and you make everyone know it for some reason. I don't care about people, how they feel about things, but atheists like to let everyone know they're atheists. But yet when somebody digs up an old Indian bone, these atheists, all of a sudden they're, oh my God, it's sacred land. It's sacred, sacred, sacred. And it makes no sense to me that if you're an atheist, that anything like that is sacred.
Especially,
what's the logic?
Especially when you add in that the trend is to turn dead people.
It was based on the article about we're mulching in California. We're number one, by the way. Number one.
Ooh, well, for mulching humans. Number one for mulching humans. Nice.
Yeah.
Right. So you can just spread grandma and grandpa anywhere and use it as fertilizer. But oh boy, if it's some Indian burial ground, the world has to come to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you people should read the news. That's a good little article.
Yeah, you should subscribe to that.
Yeah, I don't get why they don't. Some people they unsubscribe. It's just beyond me.
No, well, yeah. So typically we would, at the end of this kind of talk, we'd have a TikTok report. I don't see any TikTok clips. I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, I try to spread them out a little bit.
Okay. Well, with that, I'd like to thank you for your courtesy in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the Chinese, de minimis. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. John C. DeVore.
Randy, where do you move, Mr. Randy? For all the morning, it's just to see boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, and all the names and nights out there.
And in the morning to the trolls. A lot of them running away, but I was able to count them real quick. We have 2,087 trolls on this Memorial Day weekend hanging out. What, do you have no families? You got no families? Or are you just sitting there with the thing in your ear, listening away, like, just smiling, while everyone's doing the cookout?
It's pretty 15 good. 15-20% lower.
Well, okay, but still, it's not bad. And you should stick around. I wouldn't just leave now because there's a lot more show on the way. And, you know, the donation segments is where we have all the interviews, so you may want to listen for our special guest. The trolls are listening in the troll room.
We also had, we should mention, and people know this and some people don't, but people who bail out, they don't know that during the donation segment, we give out the secret number.
Yes, that's right.
That you can use to win prizes.
Yes, right. Valuable prizes, we might point out. Trollroom.io is where you can listen along and also be in the troll room and interact. We're so interactive. You can also interact with us at noagendasocial.com. Follow Adam at noagendasocial.com, John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com. It's still a cool place to be. By the way, excuse me, I'm very burpy today. Let's see, where was this? There was an announcement which no one really picked up. Reuters. Meta, that's your Facebook and Instagram company, has been contacting talent agencies and celebrities to gauge their interest in trying an early version of a new Twitter competitor, which will be integrated with Instagram. Check it out. Here's the quote. The decentralized app is built on the back of Instagram, but will be compatible with some other apps like Mastodon. Whoa. How about that?
That's a step forward.
It might be. Notice that.
That probably used to be another dud Mastodon instance.
Possibly. Notice that that Instagram and Facebag and the whole Meta family, They're not walking around going AI, AI, AI. They're not doing that. They are, in fact, the ones that released into open source their foundation model. So I'm thinking that was perhaps a sabotage bomb launched on other silly. Well, we'll talk more about AI, AI, AI later. So I think it's how we should all talk about AI, 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 AI. Okay, we handled that. Of course, value for value. We do not take any creepy commercial, any commercials. We're not beholden to big pharma. There's no one who can tell us what to do or what not to do or what to say or what not to say. We don't need to have a label on our content so that we're brand safe and suitable. Uh-uh. No, we exist because of the people who are actual producers of the program. When I say producers, we have producers who give us content, boots on the ground, send us clips, local bits of information. Everybody is an expert at something. So when it comes down to it, you have an expertise. You hear us fumbling and bumbling, set us straight, or get ahead of us and let us know what's going on in your particular area of expertise. And we have them all everywhere. It's just unbelievable how many people in trades, just trades, business, stuff that people do, right up to even the hallowed halls of Congress. We have people. We have people in three-letter agencies who typically just like to let us know that they're listening and having a good time listening to us, getting it mostly right. And we also have executive producers and associate executive producers, just like Hollywood. They fund the operation. We'd like to thank those. And we have people who deliver time and talent in addition to the treasure, and that would be our artists. Our artists, our beloved artists, and every single show we have a new piece of artwork delivered by one of our artists, and we are very, very pleased and very happy with the artwork for episode 1558. We titled that Media Ties, which turns out has nothing to do with media. And we thank Correct the Record for what I really liked, and there was controversy amongst the two of us for technical reasons. This was the neo-nicotine Russian mercenary cigarettes, totally Russian, warning, more dangerous than Wagner Group. We both loved it, but John had some very, very valid concerns. I did not hear anyone mention that it was hard to read, and he said it was my own fault because of my color blindness that I did not have the same experience as most people. But we chose it anyway, and I appreciate you buckling to my pressure.
Yeah, you're bossy. Well, the problem I had was, I don't remember which one I was promoting.
Let me see. You were promoting a number of them. You liked...
I liked a lot of these pieces, but I couldn't really argue. I mean, I like this piece generally. I just did not like light blue on a rich yellow, which is not contrasty enough for my taste, and it should have been more contrasty. The light blue should have been some dark blue would have been a good idea.
Contrasty.
Or Ukrainian blue would have been a good idea. Sweden blue would have been a good idea. Any blue. But you're colorblind, and as far as you're concerned, it was black on white.
I like contrasty as a word, as a technical term. It was not contrasty enough. Now, what you liked was the... Seattle on Drugs by Correct the Record, same artist, of course, which was the trailer selling, and that was, it was free for the homeless, and they were selling crack pipes, etc., which is very tiny letters on the blackboard. That's the one you liked. It was easy to talk you out of that. There wasn't anything, lots of podcasts.
I still
awards.
Like that free for the homeless trailer. The New York one is probably, it'd be better if you put a person.
Funnier. Yeah, the New York one was
funnier. It was funnier, but he could have made this one funny by putting some bonehead into the trailer like he did with the other one. I like this piece a lot. Seattle's best fentanyl. San Francisco would be a good place to put this. They're dropping dead like flies here.
Yeah.
It could be reworked.
Well, I'm glad we chose the neo-nicotine. It was also Correct the Record. Capitalist Agenda had a nice piece that melting mediatized minds, but it was a lot of what? It was a nice piece, but we just couldn't really place it within context of the show without reading the title, which is often a problem. You know, people have put the title in there.
We both like Tiny Turner.
We liked it, but it was
by Dame Kenny Ben. But you being, you know, I don't know, a stick in the mud.
I didn't want it. She's
I
dead.
I don't know. You can't. She's the dead. You're making fun of the dead.
It's not cool, man. It's just not cool. I had a relationship with Tiny Turner.
Was she over the house? Never.
Well, I had dinner with her. I had lunch with her. That counts for some friendship. We did a whole concert with her. We did a rock night with her. We did
it's fine, but just it was a funny piece.
It was a funny piece. It was inappropriate timing, that's all. It was just inappropriate timing. But anyway, thank you very much, Correct the Record, and congratulations on your win. Now, you can use a modern podcast app to see all these, when we have chapters in these modern podcast apps. It even works with CarPlay and Android Auto, so you can be driving along and the artwork will change while you're driving, so you can see that happening on the fly.
Yeah.
Or you can just refresh noagendaartgenerator.com live during the show, or you could watch that while you're listening to the show. You can just take a look and see all these pieces of art that we're talking about. Get one of those modern podcast apps. Ditch the legacy. Ditch Apple. Ditch Spotify. Anything else you have, ditch it. It's no good. Podcastapps.com. Now, let's thank our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1559. And we start with an old favorite from Idaho Falls. Who doesn't know him? Mark Pugner, who clocks in with $345.29. What is this? There's no mark. No note for this donation from Mark, unless you found one.
I couldn't find anything from Mark Pugner that's less than a year old.
And was it $345.29? Was that some kind of special thing?
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, thank you. We'll give him a double up karma then. Thank you very much, Mark Pugner.
You've got double up karma.
Sir Don Francis is next on the list. He's in Chandler, Arizona. And he says, in the morning.
In the morning.
And please do a switcheroo to make my smoking hot wife, Dame Stephanie Francis, an executive producer in honor of her birthday on Monday. And please add her to the birthday list. She's on the list.
Yep.
I'm beyond blessed and thankful to have this intelligent, beautiful, and godly woman by my side. And as always, thanks to both of you for doing the work to help keep us all sane. Keep spreading the good news, Adam. Jingles request. I got ants. Love is lit, Sir Don Francis.
No problem. And congratulations, Dame Stephanie. You're on the list and credited as such. I got ants. I got ants.
You've got karma.
Ants. Got ants. Ashley Carolis in Needville, Texas. One of our favorite amounts, 333.33. Also, no note from Ashley. I looked. Did you find anything from Ashley?
Nothing.
Oh, man. A double up karma for Ashley.
You've got karma.
Gerald H. is next. He's in Edmond, Oklahoma. First time donating. He needs a de-douche.
You've been de-douched.
He came in with 333.33. Keep up the good fight, he writes. Gents, no jingles needed. Boom.
There you go. Shane Rugg, Wyoming. Wyoming, Michigan? Huh?
To assess.
Okay. 333.33 in the morning. I was hit in the mouth by Dave Donbrock. Started listening during COVID. Welcome, brother. This is my second donation, but first chance for a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Dave has yet to donate, so I'm hoping a douchebag call out.
Douchebag.
And some jealousy of the executive producer line in my email signature will spark another donation. I don't watch the news, so I rely on you guys to allow me to join or spark conversations with good insight, so thank you for that. As always, anyways, go on, go on.
Uncle Theodore in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, 333.33. Looks like a long note, but it's not. The Industrial Revolution and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race, with love from east of the Rockies, Uncle Theodore. And then he's got some jingle choices. One is some attached Living in America clip from James Brown, which I don't think you're going to play. Or, because he has an option, the theremin. That race, the vaguely racist Asian dog karma jingle with Eastern chanting.
I will give him a combo of two different choices.
Live in America.
Karma. See? Huh? Not bad, huh? I was prepared for that. Rich is Whiskey Bravo 4 Echo Hotel Golf, which is probably just his last name. No, he is indeed. I am. Like, what a last name that is, huh? Adam and John, I am Rich, WB4EHG. Forgive me, Podfather, for I have douched. Long-time listener, first-time donor, but I will make night this year. We'll do this.
You've been de-douched.
The show is great. The worst part of retiring was not being able to listen to you on the work commute. I hope for a meetup in Davie, Florida region. Anyone having them? NoAgendaMeetups.com, brother. You should be starting it if you can't find one. For jingles, please deduce. We did that. Followed by, do you see that juice? Followed by Hillary's. That's just too delicious, my friends. And a goat scream. Also, hope to work you on FT8. Yeah, I'm getting my gear back up. I want to do some FT8 workage. 73's Rich, and I say 73's from Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie Charlie.
Oh my gosh! Can you see that juice?
It's almost too delicious to believe, my friend.
Elizabeth Rizzold 333.23, which is the special donation for Memorial Day. Has no note, a city, town, nothing. And so she'll get a double up karma.
Oop, there we go.
You've got karma.
Honor with David Kekta, 333.23. I have fallen in love with your podcast over the past couple of years, and I've decided to go all in on being an executive producer. That's how you show love for love. Donating is loving. The content of the show helps me to keep my sanity in an otherwise insane world. Keep up the good work. Thank you. That is indeed part of the mission. Please accept this donation as a reflection of the value I receive from the best podcast in the universe. And he gave us a USPS boots on the ground note, which is quite long, but appreciate it. Have read that and will incorporate that. Best wishes. And also 73s from David Kekta, November 7, Delta Romeo Kilo. And that's interesting because there was a big article in The Guardian. Let me just bring it up here. The Guardian, of all places. And the title was, No Cell Phone, No Problem. The Vintage Radio Enthusiasts Prepping for Disaster. Ham radio users from teenagers to 80-somethings are ready to communicate in the next crisis, be it a wildfire, pandemic, or the big one. And, of course, when I think ham radio stuff, it could be cool again. They have this enormous picture of a dude in his shack with 1,000 radios, you know, the one on shelves and stacked and hundreds of microphones and his log books. And he's sitting there in his shorts with a beard and a hat. It's so stigmatizing. You know what I mean?
It's humiliating.
It is a little bit humiliating.
And have you ever met a guy? I actually met someone that has that rig.
Yeah, I have to admit.
Who?
There's a guy in Austin who would completely like that. I have to say. But it's the outlier. You know, I mean, kids.
And most people have a small piece of gear in their car.
Yeah, the FT8, the stuff. I mean, the digital stuff. A lot of young people under the digital stuff. Hey, by the way, coming up in June, I think third week in June, it's field day. I will. This is when I'm coming back to ham radio. I will be participating in field day. Field day is when we all go out into the field, can be your backyard, and we try to work each other on low power, you know, really sustainable battery power, not using anything that as we're prepping for the big one. So 73s, David. Hope to work you.
Amy Zipkin's next on the list. Again, no address and no note, 333.23, so she'll get a double up karma.
You've got karma.
Sir Tooth Fairy, 333.23. Oops. Oh, what am I doing? Sorry about that. Thank you for your courage, says Sir Tooth Fairy, and for the best podcast in the universe, 100%.
100% to you.
Thank you.
Christopher Brown in Salem, West Virginia. Please give me and my wife and this $333 some marriage karma. We need it. And praise from Adam.
Okay.
Richaroo. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Next. No, this is for them. This is for them.
You've got there you go. Karma.
Now, this next one is an interesting one. It is a switcheroo from the No Agenda Indie Meetup. And this particular producer decided to read his own donation note.
In the morning, Adam and John C. Surf Odd Father here, who was lucky enough to win the NA Tribal Meetup raffle, the donation of which edges me closer, ever closer to becoming a Baron. Not quite yet, but soon. Thank you for your courage, and please, no exit strategy. NJNK.
Now, tell me that isn't a ham guy. This is what gives it away.
NJNK.
NJNK. Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie Charlie. You know what I mean? There's a ham guy. Don't you think?
Or a guy used to work in broadcasting.
Well, could be.
You run into these ex-broadcasters. Yeah. They still keep the voice. They keep the voice. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I figured I'd send you my own, you know. Okay, it's all good.
Not so with Julian Erickson in Swampscott, Massachusetts. This $250, the first associate executive producer. Adam's gents, Adam and John, I humbly ask for a big deal closing karma. You both do incredible work. Adam, congratulations on finding your faith. Keep up the excellent work. ITM, Julian Erickson.
Well, if you need big deal closing, you need to go.
You've got karma.
Then we have the note of which we read some earlier from Baron Anonymous Cop from Redwood City, California. And he does say it's been a minute. I give the report. We read that. He does end up, and I do want to promote his stuff. He says, in other news, there are many forces at work putting up the good fight against the evil infiltrators in our government that are attacking our Second Amendment rights. As a cop, I want the entire No Agenda Nation to know every law-abiding citizen needs a plate carrier, rifle, and a ham radio. You get there's a theme here today. What's a plate carrier?
What is a plate carrier, A, and what is with all these hams coming out of the woodwork?
No, it's in the air. It's in the, well, remember, we brought the hams to us first and foremost. You actually brought, I mean, you brought me to the hamage.
I'm the OG ham.
You are the OG ham, yes. Let me just see what a plate carrier. Okay, here we go. Tactical plate carriers. Ooh. Oh, let me, this is something good.
He sells them. I know that.
Right. But, oh. That's one of those, it's like a vest that you put on.
Yeah, that keeps bullets from going through it.
Correct. Well, I'll get one.
Yeah, it carries a plate, like a vest plate.
A breastplate, vest plate. Okay, good. Well, that makes sense. And he sells them.
Coincidentally.
No, he doesn't. I don't know if he does it. When you get your plate carrier, put a tactical No Agenda patch or two on it. He sells the patches. I'm starting at 35% off sale on my whole little store of NA patches, stickers, and challenge coins all summer with no code needed. Just check out the Etsy shop at bootlegcoinca. At bootlegcoinca. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Baron Anonymous Cop. We appreciate you, brother.
Lisa Lynch is up next, and she's in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Right? Yeah.
Yep.
She wrote a note on paper. John has finally guilted me into donating. It's been over a year. Last April 1st, I asked for baby-making karma for my daughter, and it worked.
Woo!
This donation of $250 is in honor of my third grandchild, Nora Grace, born 5/3/23. This also brings me to damehood. See accounting below. I'd like to be Dame Lisa of Omic Lake. At the round table, I'd like Lay's all dressed potato chips.
All dressed?
Well, it says all
okay.
dressed.
Okay.
Maple syrup. By the way, why don't we put Nora Grace on the birthday list? I don't think she's on there. Didn't ask for that, but I think hold she on, should go on
second,
there.
Hold on a second. What's her name again?
Nora Grace.
Nora Grace, and she's just new?
5/3/23. I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. She's just born.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she's a newborn.
She's new.
But she didn't get a birthday then. Never mind. Don't put her on the list. It's not a birthday. It's a birthday.
Wow,
it's actually the birthday.
I'm going to congratulate her with her birthday.
Well, maybe maple syrup. She also wants maple syrup from our family-owned and Amish-managed sugar bush in northern Ohio and grandma's chocolate cake.
Okay. Maple syrup and grandma's chocolate cake.
Yeah. Thank you for continuing to inform and entertain me in this crazy world. Lisa Lynch, Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Okay. All right. We've added that. Lay's All. I'm sorry. Lay's All Dressed. I've never heard of Lay's All Dressed.
I have no idea what that is. I've never seen it.
Well, we'll have it. Anything you want, we get at the round table. Lydia Terry, Rochester, New Hampshire, 233, Associate Executive Producer, credit for you. Long weekend karma. We got a long weekend karma for you, no problem.
You've got karma.
Now we have Libertus Dries Klassen.
Mm-hmm.
In Groningen, Netherlands, 22222. With this row of ducks, I'd like to congratulate Lisa for having a bun in the oven. We all support and love you, Lisa. I also want to call out, I want to call her out as a massive douchebag.
Douchebag! We love you, douchebag!
We love you, douchebag. Baby making karma, please. Love is lit. Thank you for all your courage. Libertas Dries Klassen and Groningen.
You've got karma.
Nathan Parker, Bothell, Washington, also a row of ducks, 22222. Adam, in the morning, gentlemen, thank you for all you do. Since we know karma works, I'm looking for a new job. So could I please have some karma, jobs karma? Well, you
jobs, bet. Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
Sir Dixbert in Tampa, Florida, 222.05. Today's donation, greetings. Today's donation is a row of ducks and 5 pennies for Adam's jar.
Oh,
a matching donation in early July will result in double knight status, and I shall be birthday gifting myself a title change to baronet.
Nice.
I will be traveling to visit Sir CB, Knight of the Black Thumbnails, in Minnesotanets soon. Yeah, I said Minnesotanets again. Have you seen the crap their legislature has been churning out lately? Anyway, I'm pretty stoked because he got a new power hammer.
Whoa.
Something besides two old Navy, besides something two old Navy chiefs will get hammered this time. Well, in addition to us, probably. No jingles, no karma, just thanks for the deconstruction and providing the best podcast in the universe. Drive fast, take chances. Sir Dixbert, Tampa, Florida.
Sir Timothy is in Plymouth, Michigan, 20648. Thank you for the job karma on episode 1554. It worked! In the spirit of value for value, I offer this donation. Please play the Bob Seger parody jingle done by my favorite Baron called Fake News. Sincerely, Sir Timothy.
Writing up some fake news. Trying to get cheap clicks and top page views. Writing up some fake news. Oh, it's propaganda time.
Kevin Anders did that. Thank you very much.
Sir Vant in Arlington, Washington. A memorial donation to honor my father first, Lieutenant Lloyd Sachs, who served the 531st Tactical Fighter Squadron Air Force at the Misawa Air Base, Japan.
Wow, yeah.
Gitmo Nation National Anthem for all those who were sacrificed for us.
I think we should do that. I think we should do that. We always do something for Memorial Day, don't we? Hello?
Well, I don't know if the Gitmo Nation National Anthem is appropriate.
Well, he's requesting
it. Why don't you play it at the end of show?
Okay, end of show. You got it. We'll do that. Sarah Jardin. Jardin. Walnut Creek, California, $200. And our last of the associate executive producers. Thank you for all the work you do to create the No Agenda Show. It's an incredibly valuable source of information and constantly offers a conclusive and unique perspective to the world around us. I also enjoy your sense of humor, candor, and commentary. Well, isn't that what the show is? If you have time, my husband would be entertained to receive his birthday shout out. I told him his gift this year would be a biscuit on his birthday.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
I made a donation on the website earlier today, hopefully the first of many. His name is Jeremy Jardine. And he is an outstanding husband and father, hardworking, funny, and very helpful in homeschooling our children. Army vet, ER nurse for the last 17 years. He is the most selfless human I know, and my world, our world, is a better place because of him. Aw, now that's a woman right there. That's a wife, man. Thank you for your and John's dedication in providing the perfect mix of content and entertainment. Yes, we call it contertainment. Thank you. Stay well, Sarah Jardine. And that wraps up our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1559. We thank you all very much. These are real credits. You can use them anywhere. Credits are recognized in your CV, your resume. You can put it on your LinkedIn profile. We recommend adding yourself to the IMDb database so you are recognized in official places. And if anyone questions that, you can say, oh, yeah, look at this. Over 750 executive and associate executive producers in IMDb. That's the real deal. And if anyone questions that, we will gladly vouch for you. Learn how here.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thank you again, everybody, for becoming execs and associate execs of 1559.
Our formula is this: we go out, we hit people in the mouth. Squirrel!
Shut up,
Snake! Shut up, Snake!
I gotta do some AI stuff. It's just getting too funny. The world is going nuts.
Did you see the AI picture I put in the newsletter?
Yeah, I think you need to explain it better, because it just, I mean, you need a little thing, a disclaimer around it that you are literally, in fact, I would like to see the instruction you give. And
I wrote it on the bottom. That's exactly what I told
it. But you need to put it in a little, like, prompt box so people understand that was the prompt that you used.
Prompt colon.
I'm just giving you some
exact words I gave it.
And I'm just giving you some visual tips.
I don't know what more I can do.
Well, no. I guess that's it then. Well, anyway, yes, I loved it. I love it. Yeah. And that shows you how great the AI is at understanding English. Guy eating a hamburger. What do we get? You get a guy with half the hamburger on the top of his head.
Yeah.
It was very funny. ABC Good Morning America, the third hour. Dr. Sutton checks in.
It is now time to talk about ChatGPT. And is it smarter than your doctor?
Artificial intelligence, it's become such a topic. The trending topic now is, can artificial intelligence take your job? And I have to say, as a physician, when I looked at it, of course not. But a new study tells me that might not be the case. In this new study from the American Journal of Gastroenterology, they used ChatGPT, which is a common artificial intelligence app, and they submitted questions from their common board exams. And what score do you think that ChatGPT got?
Oh, whoa, what score do you think ChatGPT got, John, on the board entrance exam? What do you think?
I don't know.
That's a guess.
Passed.
Do you think that ChatGPT got, just to give you some understanding, a passing score is 70%?
I'd say 75.
Let's give it an 80.
Okay, it scored 65%.
Listen, everyone go, oh, too bad the stupid computer couldn't be as good as a doctor. Oh.
Okay, it scored 65%. As the questions began to get more and more difficult, it began to get less and less accurate. And also a caveat in this is that they did not produce pictures for ChatGPT, which obviously are a part of normal medical exams. But the interesting part is that artificial intelligence is called that because it can continue to learn. And so the question now is, what can we do with this information? How can we use this for clinical interventions?
Clinical interventions. Oh, it's getting exciting. Can we use this? Is it the way of the future, Dr. Sutton?
And I know it's too early to tell, but what's the possibility that this could be the way of the future?
You know, I think that there's a very, very real possibility
will
be involved in clinical medicine. To be a tool in clinical medicine, something has to have more than 95% accuracy. Obviously, with today's score, we're not there yet, but can we get there? And I think so.
You sound like one of my professors. We're not there yet.
Yeah. But not a replacement.
Exactly. Like that. Clip.
What'd you say?
Hey, if you can pass the exam with 75%, why do you need 95% accuracy in the clinic?
You don't.
Shouldn't you need 95% accuracy on the test?
You think that would be good enough, wouldn't you? I don't know what they're thinking over there. Good Morning America, CNN already has proof that it's working.
Researchers using artificial intelligence say they found an antibiotic that works against a drug-resistant bacteria found in hospitals. In fact, the compound was so precise, it could target the problem pathogen and leave beneficial bacteria in its place.
That's why I call bullshit.
What? I wish you could have ISO'd that.
A beneficial bacteria in its place. Let's bring in now CNN senior medical correspondent Elizabeth Cohen. This sounds like a positive use of AI for once. A non-scary one.
Non-scary once.
It really is, Poppy. That is a great way to put it. This is so exciting. Developing new antibiotics has been so difficult, especially against this bacteria. It's called Acinetobacter baumannii.
What is that? What is that? Acinetobacter baumannii. Are you familiar with this?
Never heard of it.
Okay. Sounds like a tropical drink.
Against this bacteria, it's called Acinetobacter baumannii. It is smart. It is super smart. It got straight A pluses in school, I am sure, because it has learned to outwit nearly all.
What kind of doctor describes a bacteria as smart, super smart, A pluses all through school? It graduated with honors.
Baumannii, it is smart. It is super smart. It got straight A pluses in school, I am sure, because it has learned to outwit nearly all of the antibiotics that we throw at it, sometimes all the antibiotics that we throw at it. With AI, what you do is that the computer learns. It learns what's working and what's not. And so you can test many, many more properties or many molecules, many more potential drugs at once. You can do hundreds of millions. You can do a billion until you land on the right ones.
So what I'm taking away from this is that they're using an algorithm, which doesn't sound like intelligence to me. It sounds like an algorithm with a fast processor that does trial and error very, very quickly. Machine learning might be a more accurate statement, but oh no, this is fabulous.
So these researchers, they came up with one, they put it on a mouse who was wounded and had an infection with that bacteria, and they found that not only did it work, but it didn't harm the good bacteria. Now, I will say, this is a great day to be a mouse. This is a wonderful day to be an infected mouse. This is not going to be on the market for humans anytime soon. It takes years because you need to make sure this is safe, and you need to convince a pharmaceutical company that they'll make money off of it.
Stop. Both
of
those.
Yes.
Why shouldn't AI tell her whether it's safe or not?
That's a very good question.
Anytime soon. It takes years because you need to make sure this is safe, and you need to convince a pharmaceutical company that they'll make money off of it.
Yeah.
Both of those things are pretty challenging.
Okay, but this morning we'll celebrate for all
the mice everywhere.
Yeah, we celebrate for the mice everywhere. So we can't get that into some trials. You know, we have to convince a pharmaceutical, blah, 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 blah. But meanwhile, we've had ABC, NBC. Here's CBS.
Elon Musk's company Neuralink says it has received approval from the FDA to conduct its first in-human clinical study. Now, Musk helped co-found the
Did you see that? Inhuman?
That's funny the way it's worded. Yeah,
because it almost sounds like inhumane the way I heard it.
Human clinic.
Let me go back a little bit further. Inhuman.
Uh-huh. To conduct its first inhuman clinical study. Now, Musk helped co-found the neurotechnology rather.
I love the I'm sorry, guys. I didn't get the briefing this morning.
First inhuman clinical study. Now, Musk helped co-found the neurotechnology rather company, to develop.
Hey, you know what? She needs one of these things.
Yes, she needs an implant.
Co-found the neurotechnology rather company, which aims to develop brain implants to help people who are paralyzed walk again. In a tweet, Neuralink says recruitment for the trial is not yet open. The company was launched in 2016.
Okay, you're fired. Worst read ever. Now, there is one area which I picked up from NPR. There's one area where AI, particularly of the ChatGPT variety, will in fact dominate over human beings in very specific situations. And the title of this report is Can a Chatbot Help People with Eating Disorders as well as just as well as a human can. And a little spoiler, an organization indeed decided to take away their phone operators and replace it with a chat bot. And the reason why may surprise you, and this, I think, particularly in the United States, might be a big hit to use AI.
Nearly 70,000 people last year reached out to a helpline operated by the National Eating Disorders Association. Those numbers had more than doubled during the COVID emergency, and they still haven't returned to pre-pandemic levels. But now the association is shutting down that helpline in favor of a chatbot. Kate Wells with Michigan Radio has more.
The helpline is run by just 6 paid staffers, a couple supervisors, and they train and oversee up to 200 volunteers at any given time. The staff felt overwhelmed, undersupported, burned out. There was a ton of turnover. So the helpline staff voted to unionize.
So cliche, but we did not have our oxygen masks on, and we were putting on everyone else's oxygen mask, and it was just becoming unsustainable.
Managers at the National Eating Disorders Association, or NEDA, also thought that the situation was becoming unsustainable. In March, the helpline staff formally notified NEDA about their unionization. 4 days later, they were in what seemed like a pretty routine virtual staff meeting. NPR obtained audio of the call. And abruptly, NEDA's board chair, Jeff Craddock, fired all the helpline staff. After more than 20 years, the helpline was being shut down. Instead, Craddock said, NEDA would be transitioning to a chatbot named Tessa. This is Dr. Ellen Fitzsimmons Kraft. She's a professor of psychiatry at Washington University's medical school. NEDA paid her team to create Tessa a few years ago. And right now, the chatbot can walk a user through a specific series of therapeutic techniques about something like body image.
It's not an open-ended tool for you to talk to and feel like you're just going to have access to kind of a listening ear, maybe like the helpline was.
Tessa is not ChatGPT. She can't think for herself or go off the rails like that.
Oh.
She's programmed with only a limited number of possible responses. And Fitzsimmons Kraft and her team have done small studies showing that people who interact with Tessa actually do better than those who are just put on the wait list.
I think this is the future of AI. Unionize? You're replaced with a chatbot. This is what
so you know these robots call every so often, you know, with this Comcast or Spectrum, you know.
Yeah.
And it, once in a while, it's a robot. I find a little glitch, to use a term.
Yes.
So the robot calls and you recognize it. Not a recording, but a robot. It's a difference. The robot you can interact with.
Mm-hmm.
So you say to the robot, "Hang up,"
and it does that.
No, it resets.
Oh.
It resets right to the beginning of the pitch. At any point, you can just say, "Hang up," and it resets. Then you say, "Hang up again," and then it hangs up.
Oh, and what?
I've done this with 2 robots.
Okay, I don't get the robot calls. I get the Chinese calls. You get those Chinese calls?
Oh, with the guy speaks in Chinese. Yes, I do. But rarely. I get maybe 1 a month. I'm in a Chinese dominated area, so you'd think I'd get more, but no.
All right. I got another one of those phony baloney calls. What was it called? The pig call.
They're going to come to arrest you? That's my favorite.
No. This one is, "Hey, I just saw you on the street. Are you home yet?" This was really good. You know,
I have not gotten this call.
No, it's not a call, it's a text message. So,
oh, yeah, I don't...
1132, "Hey, I just saw you on the street." And I'm sitting at home like, "No, you didn't." And then 2:43 p.m., "Are you home yet?" Now, you know, what happened, I figured, and a lot of people told me this, it's called grilling the pig or something, and it's all Chinese-based. Even sometimes using, sex slaves to do this. But the whole idea is, this is a very...
Sex slaves to do text.
Yeah, it's a very, very long game. So the idea is you wind up talking to him. It's always going to be some girl. She'll send you a picture, and she looks great, dynamite. And then she'll... You know, and they'll talk with you for weeks, maybe even months. And then eventually it's like, you know what? You should invest in this crypto coin. And they have a whole phony baloney crypto exchange where they show your investment winning. Your investment is going up and going up, and it's great and it's fantastic. And you put some more in. You should buy some more. Oh, we have a little dip. There's some more. And then eventually, all your money is gone, of course. You're just looking at some phony baloney exchange thing they put up on a website. They will take months to do this. And they're cleaning out people. Stupid guys, of course.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a well-known scam, apparently.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You know, I was talking with, I wish I could have a clip of it. I tried, but I guess it was a dynamic ad. You know, the thing with Glenn Beck aired, and we were talking about AI, and he's all, and I'm like, nah, this is bull crap. It's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen like that. You know, not to be so worried about it. It's hype. It's Silicon Valley trying to protect themselves. And then they cut to a commercial, and it's literally Glenn Beck saying, AI is going to eat the world. And I really am trying to find that commercial of his. It's so beautiful, the timing of it. The best AI. Have you seen DeSantis as Michael Scott in The Office?
Yeah, I've seen a couple. There's another one going around too. That is. Have you seen the thing I like the most of all these crazy memes going around and video memes is the bad lip reading of the last State of the Union speech.
I've seen a couple of those. I don't know if I've seen the most recent one.
Yeah, it was the 2023 State of the Union bad lip reading.
Well, I can tell you what this is. This is where the danger, I mean, whatever you want, but the better these video AI, let's just call them video AIs, VIs, the better they get, the closer we come to mandatory verification of ID for any corporate social media site or anything you can post something on. And Elon, I think, knows this. He knows this is coming. That's why he started early with the verification, with paying for verification.
What good is it going to do? If I get a thing, I'm verified, let's say, and I've got paid my money and do whatever I had to do to get all my numbers, and somebody passes me through normal email to some other back channel, gets me one of these videos, and I'll post it anyway.
Right, but then at least you posted it, and then they can go after you personally for posting
for
that.
What? What are they going after me for?
Or disinformation, bro.
So they call it, so they say it's disinformation. Oh, I'm sorry, I was hoaxed.
Yeah, that's right, but you'll have to take it down, and they can come straight to you. That's the whole point.
So what are they going to come straight to me and do what?
Remove you so you can never do that again. This is a control mechanism. It's a control mechanism. I'm just telling you what's coming. You know,
nothing's coming.
I know you don't have to work. Nothing's coming. You want to put that in the book there, dude? You want to put that in the book?
Nothing's
Mr.
coming.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Mandatory verification of identification is coming to anything, any corporate website.
In the next year? In the next 2 years? In the next 10 years? What?
1 year from now.
1 year from now?
Put it in the book. 1 year from now. You bet.
Can somebody take a note on this? Because I don't have my book around.
No, I'll write
1 year from now, mandatory identification is required for what? Facebook?
Yes. Any corporately owned user generated or user hosted site. So YouTube. I just have to say it'll be mandatory for Google, for Meta, for Twitter, for LinkedIn.
Mastodon?
No. No.
Well, what difference does it make?
No, because that's not a corporate. They can't enforce that on corporate. It doesn't. Mastodon does not matter in this. There's no money. I mean, it will be necessary for the new Instagram Twitter clone, which if that integrates with Mastodon, yes. Only for corporate stuff. It doesn't matter about that. All the other stuff is irrelevant to these people. So yeah, within 1 year, guaranteed, you'll have to show government ID to be able to post on any corporate owned entity. Okay. I know you don't care, but I'm just saying that's what's happening.
Well, besides not caring, I think it's no good. Let's play a couple odd clips here.
Okay.
How about the, hey, there's this thing going on in Texas they're making a big fuss over.
Oh, our attorney general?
Yeah, I'm going to play this. This is the NPR clip, but I have to make a comment afterwards.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has been impeached. Sergio Martinez Beltran, with the Texas Newsroom, reports members of Paxton's Republican Party voted for the resolution to impeach.
The Texas House overwhelmingly voted 121 to 23 to adopt the articles of impeachment against Attorney General Ken Paxton. The majority of Republicans voted to impeach, including GOP State Representative Jeff Leach.
He appears to show little or no contrition for scandalous behavior while in office.
Paxton has been accused of constitutional bribery, dereliction of duty, and retaliation against former employees. Paxton has denied any allegations of wrongdoing. He's been immediately suspended from his duties pending a trial in the Texas Senate.
Okay.
So they go, so all the reports you see, or you like go to Google News, are GOP, 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 GOP. It's like, they're making such a fuss about this guy being a Republican, and the fact that the Republican led House, and I guess the Senate will be next, is voted to get rid of him. The guy's a bad actor. You get rid of him. It doesn't got anything to do with the politics at this point.
And this surprises you?
Yeah.
Well, let's stay with politics. The big runoff is taking place as we speak in Turkey. This is probably the best report I've received, because we have Erdogan, the incumbent, who is not a good actor as far as we're concerned, although, you know, he has presided over the stewardship of Turkey's NATO membership. Do you know anything about the about his opponent who is running against him?
So this How would I know anything, but with considering the media that we have reporting to us?
Well, France 24 did a pretty good job.
Your buddies.
Yep.
Let me tell you that the people walking into this building behind me are voters going to vote. Polls have just opened. Yeah, when it comes to the high points, well, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the challenger in this election, has turned out to be a much better candidate than we expected. He introduced a style of campaigning through shooting videos in his modest kitchen and posting them on social media. That won him wide appeal. Secondly, his appeals to the minorities, to the Kurds and to the Alevis, won widespread respect among voters. When it comes to the high points for Erdogan, well, that has to be the fact that he managed to retain majority support despite the economy being in the doldrums.
Yes, I will recognize that he's going all the time.
You know, all the opinion polls were predicting that Kılıçdaroğlu was going to win this election. Instead, Erdogan has come out ahead. When it comes to the low points of the campaign, well, for Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, his saying in the past 2 weeks, as he has toughened his campaign to appeal to nationalistic voters, his saying that there are 10 million refugees in Turkey, and if he's elected president, he will expel them all within 12 months. Well, this is nonsense. There are not 10 million refugees in Turkey. The real figure is just above 4 million. Those refugees have jobs. If you were to expel them suddenly, it would disrupt certain sectors of the economy. And secondly, it would be illegal under international law.
Now, what is interesting about this guy, and I didn't know anything about it, he has, you know, he's doing viral videos from his kitchen, gained super popularity very, very quickly. Everyone's loving him. And now Erdogan is pulling ahead. Do you think that the fact that Erdogan requested Twitter be shut off in Turkey has anything to do with it? That's what happened. He called up Elon and said, hey, can you shut this down for a little bit? It's harshing my mellow. And they shut it off. And so now Erdogan's pulling ahead. I don't know if we have the outcome yet. I think there's multiple runoff votes.
I'd be surprised if he lost.
I would too, but in
most situations, when you have an economy that you are personally responsible for tanking, and he is
big time,
he's the one who said no, let's lower the interest rates, and now they got 100% inflation.
It's insane.
The guy's an idiot when it comes to the economy. Yeah. He screwed it up, screwed the pooch, as they would like to say on the show. But they're going to vote him in anyway because he's got a lot of illiterate dummies voting for him out in the outskirts of town. And he can win. And he probably will. And I think he's also got some.
Now he has the media. You know, the Twitter was the secret weapon of this the surprise viral candidate, who of course also has a really horrible name because we can't pronounce it. We don't understand what his name is. I've heard this. I clipped this thing. I've heard it five times. I still don't know the guy's name. That's a problem.
Okay, back to another angle here. Another different story. This, I think, is progress, although everyone's getting all bent out of shape. And I should have played this clip when you asked for the TikTok clip. But this is the trans bikers in the UK clip that is on NPR. And I think this is a kind of a semi-solution to issues that are underway, let's say, in professional sports.
British Cycling is banning trans women from competing in female categories. As NPR's Lauren Freer reports, elite cycling in Britain will now be split into two categories, female and open.
Female will be for those assigned as female at birth, along with transgender men who have yet to begin hormone therapy. What used to be called the men's category will now be called open, and it'll be for everyone else. Those assigned as male at birth, plus transgender women, transgender men, and non-binary people. Trans women have criticized this change. It differs from the rules of cycling's world governing body, which tests trans women's testosterone and lets them compete if their levels are below a certain threshold. That group is reevaluating its policy, though, after a trans woman won a top race this month in New Mexico.
Oh, this is I read the story. I'm glad you got a clip. I demand now on every forum that asks for my gender, I want to be open. I want an open category. What is that? You know, do you think this is good? I think it's horrible.
I think it's great.
I think, you know, by saying you have women assigned female at birth. No, they're women. And then open. I don't want to be in the open category. I'm a man.
Hey, if you're in the open category and you're a man, you have a good shot at winning.
Not me.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. You should be a woman.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's what you're trying to get
there
at.
There you go. All right, now to the, I think, one of the best stories is, of course, what's continuing to happen with Ukraine. We have the leader of the free world, Ukraine, running around doing commencement speeches, though it was through video. He's on his world tour. He's in a shopping spree. He's asked everybody. Everyone's sucking up to him, giving him all kinds of awards. And, oh, it's so beautiful. And now, I don't know if you've seen this, but Sean Penn came through and produced a new video for him.
Tonight, as this nation appears on the brink of a counteroffensive, the Ukrainian army releasing a slick new recruitment video featuring latest NATO acquisitions, German Leopard 2 tanks, ammunition, the U.S.-made Patriot air defense system, and a call to arms posted by Ukraine's top general titled, "Now is the time to take back what is ours." Earlier today, we pressed senior advisor to President Zelensky, Mykhailo Podolyak, on whether it was a hint on the eve of battle.
Imminently? Today?
He tells us the counteroffensive is inevitable and it's already started. This is not a matter of one day, he says. We see the intensifying attacks on the Russian rear positions. We're preparing the battlefield for this new phase of the war. There's new ammunition, more advanced weapons, better trained troops close to the front line. And it comes, Podolyak tells us, as Ukraine's Western allies are no longer afraid of the word escalation.
What?
Yeah. No longer afraid. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
When did that happen? When were we suddenly not afraid of the word escalation? When did that happen specifically?
Well, I think that happened when Victoria Nuland reappeared on the scene. That's what I think.
She's reappeared?
Yes. Where I had that jingle. Where in the world? Where
in the world is Victoria
Nuland?
Yeah,
where in the world is Victoria? We don't have. Is it this one?
Where in the world is
Edward Joseph Snowden?
Yeah.
No, that's not it.
That's not it. Noodle. No, that's crazy.
Noodleman.
I don't have it.
But you do have it.
I have it, but it must be where in the, maybe it's mistitled. Oh, man.
Oh, everything's mistitled.
Everything, yes, everything is mistitled. Okay, well, someone will help me with it. Yes, at the, get this, 15th Kiev Security Forum, the 15th. I missed 1 through 14. Did you even know, there was a Kiev Security Forum?
I didn't know this. We've been doing this show 15 years, and this is the first I've heard of it.
Subtitle, Fighting for NATO.
Fighting for NATO. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's presumptuous, don't you think?
Who was there? Our buddy Yats. Remember Yats?
Yats? Yeah, of course Yats will be there.
From the famous FDEU clip.
Yeah.
And he, now there's a lot of subtleties here. Victoria Kagan Nudelman was not at the 15th Kyiv Security Forum. She was beamed in from Washington, which tells me...
So she beamed in from... It tells me that her girth is at such a point now she can't get on a plane.
Let's put it this way. Ozempic wouldn't be bad for her. I mean, she has ballooned. I'm sure she can't help it. I'm sure it's...
It's glandular.
Yeah, I'm sure it's glandular. But she doesn't dress very... I mean, she's still wearing the old stuff, you know? I was like, no, Vicky. We could definitely help her out a little bit. I mean, the hair, you could change so much. The makeup, okay, so she's a big woman. But we could help her out a lot with some tips. But she doesn't seem to care. Now, the fact that she's beaming in via video tells me that our support is waning a little bit. You know, and or that it's not as important for her to be there. I mean, she's probably getting on a plane to go to Africa, which will be the new theater for her. But she got a nice intro by Yats, and we'll listen a little bit and we'll stop it.
Madam Secretary, the floor is yours, and we, on behalf of the Kyiv Security Forum, we are very grateful and we really commend the efforts that you undertake to support Ukraine, the Biden administration, and you personally. We managed to do unbelievable, but we believe that Ukraine will prevail together with you.
Good afternoon, everybody, Arseniy, Ukrainian friends. It is an honor to be with you once again. Who would have thought that 15 months later we would be here with Ukraine not only surviving, but with the prospect and all of our intention that she should once again thrive. That is what we are working on with you from Washington. And even as you plan for the counteroffensive, which we have been working on with you.
What? What did she just say? What did she just say? That's war talk. As we prepare for the counteroffensive that we've been working on with you, was you just PowerPoints or? I mean, that to me, that's culpability right there.
That she should.
I agree.
Yeah.
Once again, thrive. That is what we are working on with you from Washington, and even as you plan for the counteroffensive, which we have been working on with you for some 4 or 5 months. We are already beginning our discussions with the Ukrainian government and with friends in Kyiv, both in the civilian side and on the military side, about Ukraine's long-term future.
Okay, so the idea here is that the outcome of this counteroffensive, which you've been working on for 4 or 5 months, it'll be the end of something, whether... I think she even said the Ukraine in the beginning there. Whether Ukraine wins or Russia, this is ending.
So I thought it would be most useful just to outline a few of the things that we are thinking about here. As we go from the Hiroshima G7 summit and President Zelensky's historic appearance there after his tour of Europe and the Middle East, to the Vilnius NATO summit and beyond, with your counteroffensive likely starting and moving concurrently with all of that.
So it's coming. She's even signaling when it's coming. This to me is newsworthy. No one caught this. No one caught this except our producers.
First, we are thinking about security, that Ukraine is going to need a world-class deterrent military for the long term. And we have said we will be with you for the long term, so we are beginning to plan now what that military needs to look like. So wherever and however this ends, we are not 1 year, 6 years, 16 years doing this again.
Okay. What I'm hearing her say is no matter how this ends, no matter how, whether you lose, whether you get devastated, we're going to be with
rubbleized.
You. Rubbleized, that's the term, thank you. We'll be with you for, and this was weird, 1 year, 6 years, 16 years. What is on her mind?
That's not kind of what she said. She play that again. It's,
okay.
She said we're not going to be doing this 16 years from now.
Going to need a world-class deterrent military for the long term. And we have said we will be with you for the long term, so we are beginning to plan now what that military needs to look like. So wherever and however this ends, we are not 1 year, 6 years, 16 years doing this again.
You're right. So wherever, however, whenever, however this ends, that's pretty open-ended. Instead of saying, after we're victorious, I mean, she's, I think this is signaling.
She's a psycho.
Look like. So wherever and however this ends, we are not 1 year, 6 years, 16 years doing this again, that Russia will see that this one didn't pay and any future aggression will not pay. That's number one. Number two is the strongest possible economy. I'm going to guess that my friend Natalie Jureska spoke to that. This is not simply a matter of surviving, but again, thriving. And we believe that Ukraine has everything that it needs on its path to EU membership to play that essential role, not just in growing and thriving itself, but being part of Europe, the broader Europe's larger resilience.
Because she cares so much about Europe.
And this is going to be essential.
Yeah.
It's going to be
We'll play the jingle in a minute. Don't worry.
Part of Europe, the broader Europe's larger resilience. And this is going to be essential. It's going to be essential for Ukraine to get those tech jobs back going.
Tech jobs. Oh, Ukraine. After you're rubbleized, you're getting tech jobs.
Larger resilience. And this is going to be essential. It's going to be essential for Ukraine to get those tech jobs back going, those manufacturing jobs.
What does that mean, back going? What is this English you're using? Get those tech jobs back going. What does that mean? What is this? What kind of English is she using now?
Pigeon English.
The broader Europe's larger resilience. And this is going to be essential. It's going to be essential for Ukraine to get those tech jobs back going, those manufacturing jobs back going, good jobs got back going. So that
this back going is, this is crazy. You're going to get tech jobs back going and get manufacturing back going.
And then she used the Bidenism, good jobs.
Good jobs back
she
going.
She left union jobs out, but good jobs back going.
Resilience. And this is going to be essential. It's going to be essential for Ukraine.
Learn to code, Ukraine.
Get those tech jobs back going, those manufacturing jobs back going, good jobs got back going, so that your IDPs and folks who have left Ukraine have a reason to come home, but also when your soldiers come off the front, so they have good jobs. And then you can be...
Wait a minute. When your soldiers come off the front, they need good jobs. What happened to that army, to that massive force you're going to be building? You don't need them for that? They're being rubbleized, John. I think you're right. This is over for Ukraine.
The engine of Europe's revitalization as well. So that's the second piece. And then the last piece is setting that democratic example. not only for your part of the world, but for the whole world. You've already set such a spectacular example of what it means to stand up for your own freedom, to stand up for UN principles. And we know that the Ukrainian people are supporting a more democratic, more European, freer, cleaner Ukraine.
Notice this. Notice not democratic, free. No, more democratic, freer.
Did she say cleaner?
Freer. I think she said freer. Let's listen again.
You've already set such a spectacular example of what it means to stand up for your own freedom, to stand up for UN principles. And we know that the Ukrainian people are supporting a more democratic, more European, freer, cleaner Ukraine.
She did, cleaner. She did say cleaner Ukraine. Yeah. You dirty Ukrainians.
What does that mean?
Because it's corrupt. Because it's a corrupt country.
More democratic, more European, freer, cleaner Ukraine. And that it has to be an essential part of where Ukraine ends up as an example for the entire world of democratic strength. That's going to require continued unity. It's going to require continued unity among your partners and within the governments of your partners. So we're working on all of those things.
While I'm driving off laughing, this is what I'll say.
There you go. You care so much about Europe. This does not bode well for Ukraine.
For either of our theories.
Especially if you listen to the Russian ambassador to the UK as interviewed by the BBC, by a hostile BBC interviewer, I might point out.
It's a big idealistic mistake to think that Ukraine may prevail. Russia is 16 times bigger than Ukraine. We have enormous resources and we hasn't just started yet to act very seriously. And
you Ukraine is living at the moment. Seriously, so this could get
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Could this go on then for 5 years, 10 years?
That depends on the efforts in escalation of war that is being undertaken by NATO countries, especially by the UK. Sooner or later, of course, this escalation may got a new dimension, which we do not need and we do not want.
What do you mean then by a new dimension?
New dimension, it is long range missiles that has been provided by United Kingdom. It is an escalation. Tanks provided, aircrafts provided. We're not afraid of aircrafts. In fact, we have downed now 430 Ukrainian aircrafts, and provision of new, it is only, will add to these numbers.
He's laughing. So go ahead, bring more aircraft, we'll shoot them down. That's what he's saying. I mean, of course, we don't really know. We don't know. All we get over here is stuff like this.
Overnight, a series of drone and missile strikes reported across Ukraine, including the capital region of Kyiv. President Zelensky says a medical facility was hit in the central Ukrainian city of Dnipro. 16 people are reported injured, including a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. Military officials say they downed most of Russia's 17 cruise missiles and 31 attack drones. Meanwhile, in Russia, a large explosion was heard overnight in the city of Krasnodar, and a building was damaged there. The governor of Belgorod is also reporting shelling. He says 4 homes were damaged. There were no casualties reported so far from that.
Thanks, Poppy. Thanks. We know absolutely nothing. We've never heard of these new places. Completely new.
We don't know anything.
We know anything about this. Thanks, Poppy. Yeah. It's just like hey, we got an update on Ukraine for today.
Yeah, boss. I got some things over here and some drone shoot.
Yeah, all right. Put it up there. Put it in the music. I think that Newland bit is...
Something's up with her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when she's not there, then something's up. And when she's saying, hey, however this ends, don't worry about it. You know, we'll get you some good paying tech jobs. Get back jobs back better or something. Is that maybe a build back better thing?
No.
No? Well, because she kept saying back.
All right, well, let's go to some more weirdness around the world to start with. Let's do Taiwan weirdness. Listen to this.
Jason Perry, NTD News.
When might Beijing invade Taiwan? Admiral John Aquilino oversees the United States Indo-Pacific Command.
Could we please get the schedule so we know when to ship our resources, our cameraman, over to Taiwan?
Here's what he had to say about it.
What I can tell you is the Secretary and the President have tasked me with two missions. The first is to prevent this conflict. And then the second one is, if I fail at mission one, to be ready and prepared to fight and win.
He added that no matter when it happens,
the United States military is manned, trained, equipped, postured, and ready to execute both of those missions.
Speaking at a panel on Tuesday, Aquilino also stressed the importance of communicating in order to avoid miscalculations. But so far, it's been hard to reach the Chinese side.
So there is a technical connection via the defense telephone line that could be used. Now, that said, if there were an event, I can tell you I would pick up the phone and dial it. I'm not sure anybody would answer it on the other side.
What kind of gear are we working with?
What?
What happened to touch tone at minimum? Don't you have a speed dial?
Now, that said,
I mean, they still want to conjure up those images of a red telephone, you know, with a hook at a cradle. It's them, boss.
If there were an event, I can tell you I would pick up the phone and dial it. I'm not sure anybody would answer it on the other side.
Adding he's repeatedly asked to speak with his Chinese counterparts, something Beijing hasn't approved. The Pentagon says it's sending out an offer to talk, but the Chinese regime isn't biting. The update comes from Eli Ratner, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Indo-Pacific Security Affairs. He says the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, has rejected or failed to answer numerous requests for meetings with the U.S. That's including talks with Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, several regional commanders, and civilian Department of Defense employees. Ratner saying, quote, we've had a lot of difficulty, adding that, frankly, the ball is in their court at this point. The official also pointed out that keeping open lines of communication is critical to peace and stability, and beyond that, necessary to prevent a catastrophic miscommunication and possibly war over Taiwan.
Well, it sounds like they're not really all up to speed on their phone etiquette and technology.
I think that this is just a kind of a small indicator. We're trying to, we don't know how to do it because the Chinese won't even take our calls.
Apparently.
To goad China and come on, if you're going to do this Taiwan thing, let's do it now.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready to go.
We're ready?
Yeah, we positioned everybody. We got camera on, we got boots on the ground.
We got Marines in the Philippines. We're ready to do it. Come on, let's do it now. Like they, you know, managed to sucker the Ukrainians into getting themselves into their tit in a ringer with Russia.
Good point.
We did that.
Good point. I see you got a clip on this story, so I'll play the setup for you.
Let me ask you, Wally, about prioritization, right? I know Treasury has said it's not feasible to prioritize payments in the case of a default. But what we learned from reporting after 2011 is that, in fact, Treasury and the Fed did have contingency plans. You guys, you weren't there then, but you put together a plan to say, here's who we're going to pay. You advised agencies about what was going to happen in the case of default. I'm just wondering if you are giving guidance to agencies now. If we're to default, who gets paid first?
So I was in government in 2011. I've served at the Treasury Department for about 10 years now.
Were you in the room for those?
What?
I was surfing.
Hey, man, I was there, man. I was surfing.
I'd go to the meetings.
So I was in government in 2011. I've served at the Treasury Department for about 10 years now.
Were you in the room for those negotiations?
I wasn't in the room for those negotiations. But what?
Just admit you screwed up, you dummy.
I can tell you is that as the Deputy Secretary, I'm the Chief Operating Officer of the Department, and I'm in charge of making sure that we're able to make payments, take in money. And one thing that I think you know well is that, for example, the IRS, who brings in 95% of our payments, their computer systems are operating on Cobalt.
Oh, it's Cobalt.
What? Cobalt?
This guy, I pay man,
this
man.
Expert. Wow, okay, clip of the day for that.
I remember putting this together. I'm like, oh, this is definitely clip of the day. Hey, man, like, I've been
operating on cobalt.
I've been in this business for 10 years, man. It's the IRS uses cobalt, baby.
The IRS, who brings in 95% of our payments, their computer systems are operating on cobalt.
Oh, brother. This is our government. Some stone surfer.
I think we should point out, for those who are wondering why we think this is so hilarious, it's COBOL. COBOL. Cobalt. Yeah, cobalt is, what do you cook with cobalt? Is cobalt a rock? Is it a
cobalt
mineral?
Cobalt is an element on the
scale.
And
of
it's
Richter.
Used in battery technology.
Cobalt.
Who brings in 95% of our payments? Their computer systems are operating on cobalt, a language that is no longer taught. They were built before we had the personal computer, before we had the ATM machine, and because we've underinvested in places like the IRS and our payment system, we're not in a position where we can make sure that we can make some of our payments, not all of our payments. The systems are built to make all of our payments. And the idea of us prioritization is truly default by another name.
What? This guy's stoned. You know what he's talking
about. He's totally wasted.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh,
well,
man.
Well, the only clip I have is that the default is it's a fake. It's a fraud. I have a clip that says it's over.
Yeah. Here it is. I got it.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy announced a new spending agreement reached with President Biden to lift the debt ceiling after weeks of negotiations. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports the House is expected to vote on this bill on Wednesday.
Speaker McCarthy said he spoke with President Biden twice in the final day of tense negotiations to reach an agreement in principle.
After weeks of negotiations, we have come to an agreement in principle. We still have a lot of work to do, but I believe this is an agreement in principle that's worthy of the American people.
McCarthy was briefing his conference on the deal's plan Saturday evening and hopes to release text of the legislation on Sunday, aiming for a vote 3 days later. McCarthy said the deal has reductions in spending and reforms to lift people out of poverty into the workforce.
Yeah. All right, so this is not over.
By the way, Shannon Bream had McCarthy on the show this morning, her show this morning on Fox.
Yes.
And she is giving him crap, but this has gotten crummy. And he made an interesting point as in a defensive kind of posture. He says, the 8,000 new IRS guys armed to the teeth.
80,000.
I'm sorry. The 80,000. That's done. That's gone.
What do you mean it's done? It's not in there?
It gets pulled. They're not going to get the 80,000 IRS guys.
But man, what are they going to do with no guys in cobalt? By the way, we should point out that we have great respect for COBOL programmers. COBOL runs most of the big systems still in the world.
It's still one of the best programming languages ever.
Including, AS400 machines, this is mainframe. This is your airline still runs on it, the airline systems. You know, COBOL works. In fact, you know, they can't transition off of it.
They still teach it in some places.
Well, we have a lot of dudes named Ben. I mean, dude's name Ben, who still speak the cobalts. Remember during the stimmy checks, they said it then too. Those morons. They were talking about. Remember we were laughing about it. Let me see. There must be more cobalts. Cobalts? No, maybe not. I remember there was more cobalt type gaffes. Yeah, this is New Jersey.
And secondly, in our list of volunteers, Judy, not only do we need healthcare workers, but given the legacy systems, we should add a page for cobalt.
Wow.
Computer skills, because that's what we're dealing with in these legacies. Chris Ryan's doing a heck of a job, but literally we have systems that are 40 plus years old, and there'll be lots of postmortems, and one of them on our list will be how the heck did we get here when we literally needed cobalt programmers.
These people should not be in positions of authority. If you can't even take the time to figure out what the most pressing issue is and call it by its correct name, you don't belong in that position.
But I'd have to say yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have respect for COBOL and for the people who program it. Of course, we're not idiots. We know what it is.
I used to sell a version of COBOL when I ran a little software company, a direct mail software company.
A version of it, like
NPS. It came from the Naval Academy.
It was a fork.
No, well, you could call it a fork. It was just it worked.
Yeah, no,
it was
sure.
Not from designed for microcomputers.
Oh, interesting. Ah, you're always interesting, John C. Dvorak.
Okay.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda. In the morning.
And we start off with some people to thank. Servant in Arlington, Washington. It's actually a switcheroo birthday donation for my human resource, Isaiah. Celebrating his 12th trip around the sun. He's going to be mentioned on the list of birthdays. But anyway, that's a switcheroo. North Georgia Meetup is also technically a switcheroo from Cumming, Georgia. This is the credit goes to the Sir Off the Grid Lodge.
Right on.
A great night, in my opinion. $100. It was $120 from Servant. David Keyes in Riverside, California comes with $100. Black Dame Loca in Smithville, Texas, $100.
And she says, thank you too, and Darren O too. I'd like to change my title to Black Dame Loca, the Baroness of Borosilicate. Is that how I pronounce it? Borosilicate?
Probably.
Probably not.
So she's on the list. Yep. Charles Gerlach in Downey, California, $100. Sir Miguel in New York City, $100.
Migs.
Fat Dad BMX in North Little Rock, Arkansas.
Switcheroo for his wife,
Shonda.
Shonda.
Shonda. And here she is. Kevin McLaughlin in Locust, North Carolina. Doesn't fool around. 8008 for boobs. Tony Hoffer in Maplewood, Minnesota. 8008 for boobs. He says, it's been about a year. I haven't eaten bugs. Gary Blatt, Wayne, Pennsylvania. 7777. Sir, hold my beer in Austin, Texas. Orca donation 6666. Now, in the newsletter, I discussed the situation with the orcas, and now I should stop here and at least talk about this for a second. So, the orcas in the near and around Gibraltar are sinking yachts.
I love this story.
Because it seems as if there's a link to the story in the newsletter. It seems as though this one orca, who they've named Gladys, which may be the reason she's irked.
No kidding.
Because you know an orca's name is never going to be Gladys. It's going to be more like something like, something like that. Ununderstandable. And so Gladys has got bonked, it seems, by a passing yacht, got pissed off and sank it. And she's been teaching other orcas how to sink yachts in the Mediterranean. And the orca tribes are about, and they call them, I forgot they're called, but they're groups of, orcas are groups of about 40. So they have 40 of these guys.
And they're not small.
And orcas, by the way, can be up to 33 feet long and weigh 10 tons.
Nice.
There used to be an orca at the Redwood City's version of Africa USA. I think it was the biggest one ever in captivity, and I got to see it once. And anyone who ever saw this thing had to just, you'll never forget it. It was the size of the pool, and it was probably, I think it was over 33 feet. It was like this thing would come out of the water. It looked like a tractor coming out of the water and then splash down and soak the entire audience. Not just the front row.
Wasn't it?
And he got a kick out of doing this.
Wasn't it an orca that killed a couple people in the? No,
right. It's one orca. You got pissed at a trainer and dragged her under.
Yeah.
Orcas are extremely intelligent.
Free Willy!
And they got rid of this orca and sent him out to sea as some sort of a goodwill gesture. Hey, if you've got a 10-ton animal that you have to feed,
yeah,
you're getting rid of him for some other reason, like it's breaking the bank.
Yes.
So they got rid of this thing. So these orcas are now, you have to be, if you got a small yacht, anything under like 50 feet, you're going to get in trouble if you're around these things. Anyway, it's a crazy story and it's developing.
Love it.
Onward with Ben Blessing in Lübeck, Deutschland, 6602. Judy Schwartz in Bernie, Texas, 6565.
Birthday donation.
Eric Carey in Felton, Maryland, 65. Shout out to a smoking hot wife, Ashley.
Broken donation.
Servant again in Arlington, Washington, another birthday donation. Bill Edelin in Jacksonville, Florida, $56. Nolichek's Meat is closing.
What? What?
That's what he says. Not happy. Bill Edelin, Jacksonville, Florida.
We need an update, Nolichek Meats. We've got one of our nights. What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? I need an update. This is a horrible, horrible news.
It's a horrible. Yes, that's bad.
This is very bad.
Peter Chong, Lakewood, Washington, 5510. By the way, that Bill's donation was 56. By Sir Bias Grace in Jacksonville, Florida, 5510. Sir Paul in Twickenham.
No, wait, wait a minute. You got to read. He has a company name here, Sir Bias Grace.
Oh, it should say that. It says, oh, Southeastern Turf Grass Supply for all your golf agronomic needs.
There you go.
Sir Paul in Twickenham, UK, 55. Joe Dirks in Amsterdam, 5333. Linda Lupatkin in Lakewood, Colorado. ImageSync.com for all your executive resume and job transition needs.
It's Image Maker Sync.
Oh, well, I blew it. That means a make good. So donate again for the make good. Baron Sir Phenom, yeah. 52. He sent a note in a card, actually. It's cute. Which I have right here. Baron Sir Phenom, please de-douche me.
That would be the wrong one. Sorry. I caught off
You've been de-douched.
So he's sending one of those $1 gold backs, but you've seen those things.
Yeah, they're cool.
Sir Sergeant Postal, Miami Lakes, Florida, $50.33. Josh Springer in Indianapolis, Indiana, 50. And these are all going to be 50s now. And I'm going to name the person and the location. So starting with Josh, then Ryan Murph in Seabrook, Texas, Shauna Norberg in Seattle, Washington, Douglas Ellis in New York City, Jack Schofield in Yankeetown, Florida. Scott McCurdy in Lodi, California. Forrest Scott Brinkley in Christiansburg, Virginia. Richard Gardner, New York City, as far as I know. Sonny Pang in Lancaster, UK. Greg Hartlob in Cincinnati. Aaron Weiss Gerber in Bend, Oregon. Michael Elmore in Gastonia, New York. Hank Ringelberg in Dronten, still angry Adam left a legendary Curry and Van Inkle radio show for big money. Where's the big money?
That's why I left for MTV. The big money. Oh, yeah. And look at me now.
Zev Greg, podcaster. Yeah. Zev Green in Teaneck, New Jersey. And last on our list is Stephen Crummy in El Cajon, California. I want to thank these people for making this show work.
And if you'd like to learn how to help make this show work, we have a donation website for you.
Dvorak.org/NA.
And by special request and granted as such, relationship karma for our very own dude named Ben.
You've got karma.
And we start off by actually congratulating a real birthday, Nora Grace, new human resource. Welcome to Gitmo Nation. May 23rd was her day of birth. Servant says happy birthday to his human resource. Isaiah turned 12 on the 23rd. Servant himself turned 65 today. Congratulations. Dame Kylie wishes her smoking hot man, Sir Andy of Terrigal Beach, a happy birthday. Turns 55 tomorrow. Sir Don Francis wishes his smoking hot wife, Dame Stephanie Francis, a happy birthday also tomorrow. Judy Schwartz will celebrate on the 31st, and Sarah Jardine wishes her husband Jeremy Jardine a very happy birthday, as do we. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday. Yes, we have that one title change request that came from our Black Dame Loka, who now upgrades and she becomes Black Dame Loka, the Baroness of Borosilicate. Please give us a pronunciation guide. I have a feeling I should know about this place in Texas, so apologies in advance. No knights, one dame. A nice dame blade for her, if you will help me out with your blade. We can get her up on the podium. That's right. Lisa Lynch, come on up here. Thanks to your support of the No Agenda Show and the amount of $1,000 or more, we're very proud to bring you into the round table of knights and dames and pronounce thee as Dame Lisa of Amick. Dame of the No Agenda Roundtable, for you, we have, we've got some Rent Boys and Chardonnay, but you requested Lay's all-dressed potato chips with some of your family's maple syrup and your grandma's chocolate cake. No problem, we got it for you, along with geishas and sake, vodka, vanilla, bong hits and bourbon, sparkling cider and escorts, ginger ale and gerbils, and of course, we've got the mutton and mead for you. Please, freshly damed dame, go to noagendarings.com. Take a look at those handsome and beautiful rings for knights and for dames. Anyone can go take a look at them and just go, oh, wow, I wish I could have one of those. But it's only for our new dame today. And send us your information. There's a handy ring finger sizing gauge system that'll help you send off the right size for your finger of your choosing, and as well as an address for where we can send it to. And thank you very much for supporting the best podcast in the universe.
No Agenda Media.
Yes. The No Agenda Meetups, now more than ever, you need connection for your protection. In this crazy world, you need to have a community that you belong to. And everyone, of course, listening to the show is a part of No Agenda Nation. And you can meet up anywhere in the world. Many of these meetups happen daily and in many multiple places in the world. We are so proud of these producer-organized events. And one of the largest groups, one of the most loyal groups who continue to organize is our Indianapolis group. And they have always put together nicely produced meetup reports.
Hi, this is Maria.
And this is Mark.
We have an amazing meetup at the Prodigy Burger Bar. This is a special place. We love it.
I do believe we're going to go back here again soon.
Hi, this is Cindy from Carmel. Thank you for your courage.
Hi, I'm Christy from Carmel, and I got hit in the mouth by Cindy. I'm having a great time, and I just want to thank you all for your courage.
Hi, this is Gary. I only listen to the donation segment because everything else is blah, 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 blah.
This is the Father, enduring Joe Biden's idiocracy.
Hi, this is Diane. I brought a friend, Linda, with me today. Can't wait till you guys make it down to see us.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm her friend. This is my first meetup. I am a new fan. Thanks, you guys, for everything you do.
Sir Nathan from Whitestown, Indiana. In the morning.
In the morning, this is Dame Trinity. Having a great time in Indy. Thank you for your courage.
In the morning, John and Adam. PBR Street Gang here. This one's for you.
Hi, this is Syrup of the Maple. Please ignore everything that the next speaker has to say.
Hi, this is Nick from Indy. I'm here in Greenwood, which still has a residual KKK Peckerwood vibe, but that's okay. Sorry, Mark.
Hi, this is Brooke from Carmel. Please ignore everything the last guy said.
In the morning, John and Adam. Bruce here.
Hi, my name's Stephanie, and I served today at Prodigy Burger Bar in Greenwood. Everybody was great, happy, and had a good time.
Hi, my name's Christina. I'm a manager at Prodigy Burger Bar. We had the group in today. It was a great experience. I hope they come back real soon.
Donna from Indianapolis, currently outside enjoying this wonderful global warming with six glasses of water.
Hey, this is Emily Blessinger. Shout out to our top 40 radio DJ, Annette. Nice to meet you, girl.
Mike the Polymath. Where are you at, Adam? We want to see you.
In the morning, this is Shannon from Fort Wayne. We got our signatures for the next Mark Pugner Train Museum.
In the morning! Boom shakalaka!
Okay. Top notch. Top marks for that. And nice to hear the manager and server of the establishment checking in with a nice little ad for their place there. Very smart usage of the meetup reports. Now, a little more subdued, Leo Bravo, Flight of the No Agendas in Cali 4NAA.
Hi, everybody. Hello, slaves. It's Leo Bravo at No Agenda Meetup number 41. I'm passing the phone around. Some folks have nice things to say, I hope.
Howdy, guys. It's Bill. In the morning.
This is Victoria here at my first No Agenda meetup. Had a blast meeting some new people here with my husband.
And this is Matt at my first No Agenda meetup, and I can't wait to have my next one.
This is Blake. I think that the No Agenda Awards should be like the Razzie Awards, except for the news.
In the morning to you guys.
In the morning!
And as final report, our North Georgia meetup for the month of May.
It's Bob at the North Georgia meetup, our second one. We had a great turnout. We had 14 people here, and we're growing it every week. So come on, North Georgia, get out here and come see us. I'm going to pass the phone around. Everybody's going to say hi.
In the evening, it's Ben.
In the morning, this is Sir Jack, Black Knight of the Industrial Laundries.
In the morning, it's Miguel, a.k.a. Miggs.
Miggs!
Still here.
Don't eat me, Bo Jaden.
In the morning, this is Carrie.
Sir Off the Grid Lodge.
Hey, it's Sir Andy of the Hickory Flat. Protector of Small Horses. We're here, and it's a great, great evening with a lot of knights and dames.
Dr. Sir, Mike Rott, follow the pipe.
Good evening, Gitmo Nation.
Hurry, hurry!
And we have one meetup scheduled for today at about 30 minutes from now at In Cahoots. That's in Hamel, Minnesota. Mary Samsonite organizing that on the 2nd of June. We're into June already. Amsterdam, the Netherlands, Tallahassee, Florida, Garner, North Carolina on the 3rd, Cheyenne, Wyoming on the 4th, Hope Mills, North Carolina, Miami, Florida on the 6th, Raleigh, North Carolina on the 10th. A lot of meetups. Fort Wayne, Indiana, Columbus, Ohio, London, UK, Oosterbeek, the Netherlands, Asheville, North Carolina on the 15th, Indianapolis, Indiana, Liberty, Maine, Charlotte, North Carolina on the 17th, Cocoa, Florida, Keyport, New Jersey, Cincinnati, Ohio, Anchorage, Alaska, Houston, Texas on the 21st, Tucson, Arizona on the 24th, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Star, Idaho on the 24th. These are just some of the No Agenda meetups available at noagendameetups.com. This is your community. You need to be a part of these at least once. It's like those crazy potato chips at the round table. Once you have one, you can't stop eating them. Noagendameetups.com. You can't find one. Start one yourself.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days.
Bum, bum, bum.
You wanna be where you won't be, triggered on hell's flame. You wanna be where everybody feels the same.
It's like a party. Like a party, like a party. Everybody like a party. Oh, goodness, what a good show today. I feel good about it. Even though it's a, you know, we should be out barbecuing, getting ready for, you know, to celebrate.
It's cold here.
Oh, really? It's not warm here either. It's not even hitting 80 these days.
Yeah, global warming.
I'll take it. ISOs, what you got?
I got three.
Wow.
How many you got?
I got three.
Oh. All right, well, let's start with mine. Let's start with bummers.
Okay.
Bummers.
Okay, I like it.
Friend.
I'm your friend? Thank you.
These are good, John. Okay.
And last is true.
I didn't find that to be true at all.
Yeah, I like the other two first. All right, let me see what I have here.
Well, the machines will decide when it's over.
It's too muffled. First lady.
I thought you might clap for that.
No. This, I think, is a competitor.
Oh, my God. That was the best thing ever. Oh, my God.
I like you. I couldn't hear it. I couldn't understand.
No, I think
it. I'm your friend. Thank you.
I think bummers. Let me see.
Bummers.
I think friend. Thank
you. I prefer friend. Yeah. Bummer.
I'm your friend. Thank you.
Yeah, I like that one. I think you got something there. I think you got something there. Okay. Well, do you want to, what are we at?
I got a couple. I got a leftover here that might be worth, this is kind of the annoying story of the week. I found this to be a somewhat upsetting that NPR would develop the story and then even do an ad on at the end. And so this is a noodle girl.
Noodle girl. We love our noodle girl.
She has to have everything her way because that's all it counts.
Yeah, of course.
And this is called the weird graduation story.
Weird graduation story.
A senior in the small town of Parachute, Colorado, wore a stole to graduation today with the Mexican and American flags on it, even though the school district forbade it. Alexander has more.
Naomi Pena-Villasano filed a lawsuit against the Garfield 16 school district on Wednesday after she was repeatedly told she could not wear the stole to her graduation ceremony. The judge ruled against her, saying that any expression is subject to the school's discretion because graduation is a school-sponsored event. Despite the ruling, she wore the stole, received her diploma, and no one stopped her.
So I'm not going to lie, I was super nervous about what everyone's reaction would be. But just like my senior quote, always stand up for what you believe in, I feel like that just overpowers everything.
Villasano would not comment on whether she would seek further legal action on the matter.
Why would she seek further legal action?
What was the whole problem with the stole to begin with?
Well, they didn't want it. It was one of those schools. No, you're wearing, everyone's wearing the same thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Wear the same thing. Shut up, girl.
So why are you wearing the stole? No, you can't wear it. And the judge said, yeah, you can't wear it. And so that's that, because it's a school event. Now, I mean, there are some schools that we don't care what you do. I went to an Evergreen college graduation when my son graduated, and at least 1 out of 10 people there were dressed as furries.
But enough about your son. Enough about your son.
Well, you know, he was normal. And but there was a bunch of furries there, and they all thought that was great.
Yeah,
but
hilarious.
This school, and so now they're saying more legal action. For what? Legal action for what?
I'm taking legal action.
So this is a kind of noodle girl probably is someone. You find out who it is. Don't hire her ever.
I have one last one here. Very, very short. I'll cut it off short. There's a new YouTube channel I've been alerted to called the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction.
Well, that must be entertaining.
Disasters are sexist.
And I think that's all you need to hear. Disasters are sexist. There you go, everybody. That's it. It's all you need to know. They're sexist. Even disasters.
Everything is.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's not racist.
Oh, well, don't worry. There are more videos on that YouTube channel. Hey, stay tuned to NoAgendaStream.com or Trollroom.io, or even just stay tuned in one of those fancy modern podcast apps. We have live Hog Story coming up next with Fletcher and Blaney, and they are presenting Fletcher and Blaney's Music Jams and Poetry Slams. That's a Memorial Day special if I've ever heard one.
Yeah.
By request, we have our Gitmo Nation National Anthem. We've got Steve Jones. We've got Rulfie. We've got Sir Seat Sitter. And we have one of our favorite and requested end-of-show mixes from Micah Taylor. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, it's FEMA Region Number 6, in case you're looking on the Disaster Which Is Racist map. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, you know, it's actually raining a little bit. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's not raining here, almost 80 degrees. Remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. We return on Thursday. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for your Gitmo Nation National Anthem.
In the morning, Gitmo Nation, we are all charged up to be human resources and service in all lands and all ships at sea. From the east to west, down under to the lowlands and beyond, we are happy and distracted slaves. Hear our Gitmo Nation song.
Back now with a car dealership vandalism spree. Police are searching for this woman. They say has keyed more than 400 cars at dealerships around Vancouver, Canada. She wore a mask, glasses, and gloves. No words on a motive. The damage is estimated at $500,000.
We want you to dance, monkey boy.
You must comply. You must
must comply.
Everyone watches porn.
Another example is the array of technologies that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat.
It ain't no joke, the whole world will go up in smoke, and we don't spray the skies. To save the forest, flood plants, and stop global floods and fires. But remember, chemtrail or conspiracy things are alive. This is the only way to save the earth from the rain, the sun, so the sky that we spray. Aeration means taxation of their carbon footprint, and we'll spray them all like bugs while we live on our islands.
There he sits inside your local coffee shop, sporting a man bun and facial hair. Somehow he believes, although he has no job, that by his 30s he will be a millionaire. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A. Hopes to change the world while wearing yoga pants, armed with her dreams and knowledge of essential oils. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
I'm your friend. Thank you.